Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better. Crady Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks Football on WGIL.
At Rock Island High School, game two of the conference and the Western Big Six conference season. The final year for the Western Big Six as the Silver Streaks prepare to do battle with the Alleman Pioneers again at Rock Island's Almquist Field. Augustana College is not available to Alleman, at least for tonight. Understand that Augie is going to play there, but Alleman will not be playing there, at least for this opening game. So we are at Rock Island High School. Alleman, the home team, their first home game. Silver Streaks hit the road for the first time, and both teams with opposite records right now. Galesburg with a very important opening win over Moline last week, 20-16. Alleman went on the road and lost at Peoria Central, 38-36. And, Jim, that's about a month's worth of points for them to give up, I think, in a single game. And it certainly puts us on notice for when we play Peoria Central coming up later in the year. But at the same time, yeah, I'm not all that thrilled about having to play Alleman turn around after they played that game last week.
Yeah, you know, Camp DeJager's been pretty tough this week getting that team ready. Because if you go back the last two games they've played, they gave up a whole bunch of points to Rochester in the state title game last year, too.
That's right.
Of course, Rochester was really loaded, and so that's understandable. But still, an Alleman team that prides itself on terrific defense has gotten shredded basically two times in a row now. And I hope we make it three tonight, but it's going to be pretty tough. I think if we're going to win this game, we're going to have to keep them to maybe 14, 17 points or less to have a chance.
And if you weren't with us for the Galesburg-Moline game last week, Moline, I don't quite know how to put it, but they got more offense than the Silver Streaks did. Galesburg had a very hard time moving the ball. And traditionally, the Streaks have a hard time moving the ball against the Pioneers. And even with a loss last week, we don't expect that to be any different tonight. A short kickoff with J.J. Range takes at the 11-yard line, crosses the 20, stopped at the 25-yard line, advances forward for another couple of yards before he is finally brought down there. Nice return by J.J. Range. Andrew Lukowski, a 6'1", 237-pound junior, finally brought him down on special teams. But J.J. returns it. Are they going to spot it just short of the 28-yard line? So a 17-yard return for Range. And the Streaks will start off on offense here as we play our first road game of the season. Galesburg will not play back-to-back home games at all this year. They alternate home and road until the final two games of the year will be on the road for the Silver Streaks. In the shotgun, the handoff from Isaacson goes left, and not a whole lot there. Ben Holloway was the workhorse last week. He becomes the first man to carry the ball tonight, and Alleman was ready for him. He picks up maybe a couple of feet, not a yard by any means.
Well, we have to be more diverse on offense to have any chance tonight. Ben Holloway, great week last week, but he had 141 yards, and the other two backs combined for 4 yards total. Alleman will not let one man beat them. You're going to have to maybe throw the ball, mix it up a little bit more tonight to have a chance.
Range goes in motion, trying to get to the outside after the handoff, cuts back up the middle, stopped at the 35-yard line for a pickup of just a little over 7, and it'll bring up 3rd and 3 for the Silver Streaks. Galesburg, not great percentage-wise on third down last week, just 2 of 7 for under 29%, but much better chance of converting here on 3rd and 7 rather than 3rd and 10 where they were facing after the very short gain on first down a moment ago. Sophomores lost tonight 30-6. They are 0-2 on the season. Peyton Isaacson, the starting quarterback, in the shotgun, fakes the run. Now he's going to keep it. Hit. Ball pops free. Alleman picks it up at the 31-yard line, and that is, well, it about couldn't be a worse start for the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, that was really tough because I like the fact that Isaacson was keeping it. I thought he was going to make it, but it so often happens when you play Alleman, they fill the gap really well. That time it was Connor Doak, a 5'10 senior linebacker that came up and stuck Peyton, and he didn't pop the ball loose immediately when he hit it. It came out just a little bit after that, but Peyton still wasn't on the ground. So a turnover has Alleman with the ball, nose of it right on the Galesburg 30.
We've played a minute and 19 seconds. So here come the Alleman Pioneers. We'll set the lineup for you here in just a moment, but the quarterback is Kevin O'Keefe. He hands off to Matt Hubble, trying to get to the outside with some running room inside the 25-yard line, and the Silver Streaks swarm him at the 23 and stop him there. Mike Washabaugh was talking about Matt Hubble in the pregame show. It was the number 5 he mentioned who had the shoulder injury last year, and that's the guy he said that they are targeting to be a very big offensive threat, and he picks up 6 on first down.
Big offensive threat and a little package. He's 5'9". Does go 182 pounds. Doesn't look like it from up here, but obviously got a lot of muscle on that frame to be able to gain 240 last week against Peoria Central.
Out of the wingback spot, he goes in motion. Handoff goes to the right side instead. And trying to pop to the outside, getting to the 20-yard line and very close to a first down as Hubble got the carry again. And it looks like he'll be just a couple of feet short. They've got to get to the 30. This is just inside the 21 for a gain of 3.
You know, Alleman, man for man, not, I don't think, quite as big as Moline was last week. They could stack three guys near 300 pounds together up there, but they've got a couple of big ones on that line going both directions.
Brandon Sheridan splits out to the left side as they pack it in. Miscommunication on the handoff. The ball drops loose behind the line of scrimmage. And it looks like the quarterback, O'Keefe, is able to recover. So Alleman loses a couple of yards on third down. That'll bring up 4th and 3 from the Galesburg 23.
Jacob Appleman, probably one to really keep your eye on there on the Alleman line. He goes 6'5", 295. All seniors up front for the Pioneers. So, you know, Coach DeJager was talking about how well we've got a young team, but you got everybody in the starting offense is a senior except for one guy. Now, granted, they might not have got that much playing time last year, but the fact is they're still seniors.
Same formation. Handoff to Hubble to the right. Got opening through the first down marker and down to the 15-yard line. So a gain of 8 when they needed 3, and Alleman moves the chains on a fourth down gamble inside the Galesburg 25, now down to the 14-yard line.
As far as numbers on the field, on the sidelines, pretty even. I would say maybe Galesburg an extra player or two beyond what Alleman has over there. Of course, they're the two smallest schools in the conference now. Alleman has been for a long time.
Enrollment-wise,
yes. So you would figure you probably wouldn't have quite as many on your rosters playing a Quincy or a Moline.
Kevin O'Keefe, 6'1", 154. Back into the shotgun. Handoff goes to the left side to Connor Doak. Also, not big at 5'10", but a little sturdier at 198, a senior. Picks up 3 on first down.
Turned into a very nice evening. It was, as it was last week, until that sun went down, pretty hot, but it's cooling off much better now than it did a week ago and turning into a pleasant night for football. I'm sure the folks over at Monmouth Roseville are probably wishing they hadn't scheduled a Saturday game tomorrow. They got to play when it's 93 degrees tomorrow afternoon.
82 degrees degrees a kickoff here. Handoff to the right side. Hubble trying to feel his way through an opening and then stopped at about the 8-yard line. So he'll pick up 3 more, and that'll bring up 3rd and 5 for the Alleman Pioneers from the Galesburg 8.
Of course, the colleges don't care much. Knox and Monmouth, they don't care how hot it is. They're going to go out and play their openers with Knox on the road tomorrow. Have to go to Eureka to see Damon Tomeo's debut as the head coach of the Prairie Fire. Monmouth at home to always tough Co.
Trying to bring home the Lincoln Trophy.
Yes.
Are the Prairie Fire. 7:20 to go in the first quarter here. No score, but Alleman with a 3rd and 5 of the Galesburg 8. Out of the wishbone. Handoff straight up the middle to the fullback. Good surge by the offensive line before the Streaks stand him up and push him backwards. Forward progress to the 5, it looks like. And that'll be very close to a first down and 2-down territory now, deep inside Galesburg territory.
Trying to see who led the charge for the Streaks that time. I think it was Gage Miller, defensive lineman, able to stand up the runner there and deny any more progress. And now another 4th down coming up for the Pioneers.
Could be a big stop early in this game for the Silver Streaks defense. On 4th and a long 1, we'll say. Got to get to the 3-yard line just inside the 5, and now whistles blow. And if that's a false start by the Pioneers, that would be a huge help. Not that they won't still go for it on 4th down, but they are walking backwards. Remember, Moline picked up some key penalties at bad times that helped the Silver Streaks last week withstand some tough offensive charges by the Maroons. Maybe this will be enough to slow the Pioneers down and get the ball back to the Silver Streaks on downs.
Yeah, I had a few people ask me this week, well, what do you think of the Streaks' chances this year? I said, well, if the opponent fumbles 6 times every time, I think our chances are real good every night. I don't think Alleman's going to lay it down for us 6 times tonight. It's going to be a little tougher tougher road here.
Unfortunately, it was Galesburg turning it over on its third play of the game that led to this great field position by Alleman. Back to pass. O'Keefe with a sideline swing pass. It's caught, going for the end zone, and in goes Brady Hoskins for the touchdown. So they ran the ball, and then on fourth down, they swing it to the outside and convert. And not only convert the first down, but get the touchdown as well.
Yeah, as soon as you saw Hoskins coming out of the backfield there, he was wide open coming over to the near side. And all he had to do was catch it, and he was easily going to get the first down and able to get more than that just inside the pylon. Gets across the goal line for the first score of the night. Alleman will try and connect on the extra point here. Austin Gonzalez comes in to do the kicking.
Gonzalez at 5'11", 154, has a good leg, and that one is good. It's 7-0 Pioneers, 6:10 to go. We're just about halfway through the first quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2014 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
It happens.
And it can be anything unexpected.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. When it happens, it's our hope at Bates that we can make it as easy on you as possible.
Remember, Bates is here to make it better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Involved with you and your community. Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
8 plays, 30 yards for the Alleman Pioneers. They take 4 minutes, 31 seconds off the clock. A 10-yard scoring pass from Kevin O'Keefe to junior Brady Hoskins. And the Pioneers strike on their first offensive possession of the game. Very similar to the way things started last week in our game. Moline fumbled on the third play of the game, and the Silver Streaks took it downfield, got a score out of it. And then Galesburg's offense stalled until the fourth quarter. J.J. Range up the middle of the field tries to bounce to the outside. He's slowed down, still trying to find a hole, and finally brought down at the 25 after a return of 12. So very similar to the opening kickoff as the Silver Streaks start there with 6:01 to go here in this first quarter.
Yeah, J.J., in returning against Alleman, you know, he might be better off just to turn it on as fast as he can and just hit one seam and go for it, because the more you pick your way around, it always seems like Alleman has about 15 guys on the field, and where there might be gaps against other teams and a special teams thing, they don't leave many.
Holloway across left tackle, not much of a hole, but he picks up 2 on first down. Got down low, tried to let the line create something for him, and it closed quickly. Just underway here at Rock Island High School, where the Pioneers of Alleman are hosting the Silver Streaks tonight. Augustana College's Erickson Field is under construction. Back to pass on second down. Isaacson flushed out of the pocket, going backwards. Now a little screen pass forward to Holloway. Goes over his head and out of bounds, falls incomplete for third down.
Yeah, Isaacson had a second or two, but when that pocket gave way, it gave way in a hurry. He tried to scramble left and ran into a big man there, turned and avoided the sack. And in that case, probably just as well to have an incomplete pass and try again here on third and eight.
Third and eight, yep. Very quickly, the Silver Streaks face third down. Down 7-0 already. 5:26 still to play here in this first quarter. Out of the offset eye, handoff goes to Holloway. There's a little bit of a hole up the middle, but it closed quickly as Holloway started to sprint through it. Got across the 30 to the 32, but he's 3 yards short of the first down.
Yeah, the no-huddle offense is you know, risk-reward. I mean, yes, you can get the defense on its heels sometimes, but if you go three and out, it's a quick three and out, and you find yourself playing defense a lot if you're not moving the ball effectively.
Brandon Sheridan scrambles back to take the punt, and now we've got whistles before the Silver Streaks can snap off the punt, and Coach Dave DeJager calls timeout for Alleman as the Pioneers were really scrambling out of position there.
Well, and there I think, you know, the use of Peyton Isaacson, your quarterback, is also your punter. We saw it last week. He's not taking the traditional drop. He just goes back about, you know, kind of like shotgun-type formation.
Right. Yep.
And so it leaves the doubt in the defense's mind. Well, we think he's going to kick, but he is the quarterback, and so he might make something happen. And I think all of them taking that timeout, especially since it's only fourth and three, you're deep in your own territory, but when you're an underdog, it's not, you know, inconceivable to go ahead and give that a try.
Well, and if there's any kind of miscommunication from the sideline, if the players are out there just watching the formation and line up based on what they think Isaacson is doing and not being totally conscious that it's fourth down, they may be lining up as if to think, that's just another down here, and not being aware that it's a punting situation, you got to have somebody back.
So they'll try and talk over all the possibilities. Will the Pioneers? Silver Streaks back out again. Looks like pretty much the same formation.
And Alleman actually broke huddle first, so that really was just to get everybody on the same page. Silver Streaks do send two receivers to the near side, two to the far side. Isaacson alone about 5 yards behind center. With 4:57 to go, takes the snap. End-over-end kick falling to the left side of the field. Bounces at the 43. Takes a little bit of a Galesburg roll just toward the 40-yard line. And that's where the Pioneers will take over.
Well, that ball might get a little more roll with that end-over-end, but it just checked up there right around the 40. Of course, you know, as Matt Washabaugh was telling us in the pregame, playing on this turf seems like you're almost playing on a true sponge after being on that practice field, because it is so hard and dry out there at GHS that if that ball would have hit out there, it might have rolled 20 yards, but here it just died.
What are we, 31 days without rain now?
Yeah, at least.
So big difference there. All right, here's the handoff from the outside as the Kylie Dorsey tries to go around to the near side, and a flag comes down on the backfield, and what little Dorsey ended up getting may be coming back.
Yeah, most of the time flags there.
Yep, and there's the hold.
Probably 95% of the time are on the offense, and it was the hold. So very good. We'll back all of it up. Good 10 yards anyway. I would assume we'll take the penalty.
So from the spot of the foul at the 44. So getting this one sorted out. Now the flag comes up. They're ready to walk it up. Oh, no, he moves it to the 45. Uh-huh. So they'll march it off from there back to the 35. At the near hash mark.
Do you remember when holding used to be 15 yards?
Back I don't.
That was a 15-yard penalty at one time.
Wow.
Yeah.
I do not remember that.
Yep, it was as bad as clipping. But they decided, well, maybe since there wasn't potential for injury or anything like that years ago, they made it a 10-yard penalty.
Handoff goes up the middle, and good running room is a big hole as O'Keefe actually keeps it across the 45-yard line, and he'll get back almost to the same spot where Dorsey just finished up. So he makes the penalty yardage up, plus a little bit more, and it'll be second and six upcoming. So Alleman had a penalty on the scoring drive that they were able to bounce right back from and ended up scoring. This time on a 10-yard penalty, they do the same thing, bouncing right back. So on second and six, and off to the right side. A little more patient run by Stephen Ewald, and the hole closes quickly across the right side as the Galesburg defense stops him for a gain of, we'll call it two. It'll bring up third and, well, we'll call it third and three, a pickup of just a yard.
Matt Hawkins and Ryan Darby both there on the tackle for the Silver Streaks. Some good interior defense. Look down in the stands. I see Grant Gibson down there, basketball player, and I know that he's one that Coach Doherty would like to have out there on the football field, too. Tried to convince him there a couple of years ago to split his time, but Grant was all basketball, and it's worked out pretty well for him there. But said he's a strong guy. He would have probably been a pretty good football player, too.
From the 48-yard line, short shotgun drop. O'Keefe under pressure in the backfield. Somehow he gets out of it, and finally Galesburg knocks him down at the 45-yard line. So even after escaping, he managed to pick up just a couple of more yards. I think it was Michael Moss who ended up maybe finishing him off. Not how you saw it, too, Jim?
Yeah, Darby in the neighborhood there, too.
Okay.
And I was afraid once he got out of that first wave that he was going to scramble and pick up a bunch of yards, but good job by the second line of defense for Galesburg, the linebacking core, to stay home and get the tackle, and Alleman has to kick it away.
Ended up being a loss of two on the play. So Galesburg moves it back to fourth and five now, and Alleman in punt formation. And, an extra step into that punt, but
wow.
Galesburg didn't get a rush on, and
he
the extra step,
it.
He really bombed it. And Alleman giving chase, but can't get to it before it gets into the end zone. It didn't come down until it landed inside the 5-yard line. And it's not because of a strong tailwind by any means. There's a very light breeze up here. So that was all his leg that done.
Where did he kick that from, between the 30 and 35? From where he actually kicked it, not the line of scrimmage. I think he was back that far. He really crushed that ball.
So Galesburg does get a break as the ball does get into the end zone, so they get it on the touchback at the 20. Down 7-0, 2:27 to go here in this first quarter. See if Galesburg can get some things going here offensively. Two offensive series, three plays and a punt, or three plays and out both times. First time was a fumble. Second time, they punted. Ben Holloway gains one on first down to the 21. So Holloway's carried the ball four times for just 8 yards tonight. Big difference from last week when he ran it 141 yards for three touchdowns. But it's early. Somebody for the Silver Streaks still has plenty of time to pick up a big offensive game here. Down just a touchdown here. As the first quarter begins winding down, Isaacson back to pass, finds Holloway in the flat,
right,
and a first down across the 30-yard line as he's rolled down at the 31. They'll spot him at the 32 for a gain of 11, and the Streaks have their first down of the night.
Yep, very nice. We assumed the Silver Streaks would have to mix it up, maybe work in a little more pass with the run, even in early down situations here, to try and get that Allman defense off balance a little bit so they didn't get too locked into the box, and that was a very nice play and a first down.
First reception of the season for Ben Holloway. Isaacson on the keeper going left. Little misdirection trying to fake off to Holloway. And Isaacson picks up a couple on first down up to the 33-yard line. Under a minute and a half to go first quarter. Galesburg down a touchdown. Bring up second and eight after the gain of two. In the shotgun, Isaacson again fakes handoff. Holloway for protection, lofts it downfield. Moss there, or rather Eicher there.
Wow.
And it's almost picked off instead.
That was quite a play. That ball was well thrown. Both the Moss and the defender.
Brandon Sheridan.
Eicher and Sheridan had a chance at that ball.
Boy, Sheridan was step for step with him too, wasn't he?
Yep. But Eicher long and lanky. I'm sure they feel like if they can get that ball up there, he might be able to take it away.
Well, and I kept waiting for Eicher to maybe get a little separation there as he was going downfield, but it just never happened. Great defense by Sheridan. It's now third and eight. From the Galesburg 33-yard line. Back to pass again. Isaacson under pressure in the backfield. Again, a little screen pass to Holloway at the 35-yard line and then hit hard at the 37 and forced backwards as Brady Hoskins made the hit. And the Silver Streaks will be about 4 yards short of the first down.
Heck of a play by Hoskins that time, the junior linebacker, because if he doesn't make that play, there are not too many other green jerseys in the neighborhood. Holloway had cut inside, and if he's able to elude that, I bet he picks up another 10 or 12 yards. But linebacker said, nope, you're going down right here, and that makes the Silver Streaks have to kick it.
So it ends up as a gain of just four. And on fourth and five, under 30 seconds to go in this first quarter. Galesburg in punt formation, a little deeper punt that time. Gives Isaacson a little more to get into it. Fair catch called at the 36-yard line, and that's where Alleman will take over on this offensive possession as the first quarter winds down. Pioneers leading 7-0.
You know, we were talking about the long pass play that fell incomplete and how Eicher was out there, the intended target at 6'4". Nice for the Silver Streaks to have a guy that they can go to with some height, because for years we've had a receiving core that's, you know, 5'7", 5'8". That's pretty tough for a quarterback, especially looking down the field, to be able to do much with that ball. You got a guy that's 6'4", you can put it up a little bit high. Maybe he comes down with it. He's a bigger target. So hopefully we can develop more of those guys, at least on the edges, to be receivers in this program.
Speaking of receivers, Nick Lewis, the lone receiver for Alleman, splits out wide to the near side. Instead, the handoff to Matt Hubble gets tripped up to the line of... Dives forward close to the 40-yard line. That ought to be the end of the first quarter with the Pioneers leading 7-0, and they'll face second and six when we come back. Pioneers on top by a touchdown after one. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
People who insist that it doesn't matter who does your screen printing have lower standards than you. You know what you want. You know what you expect. Clean lines, artistic designs, quality materials that players will actually want to wear. Screen-printed sportswear like that comes from Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Soft, comfortable fabrics, bright, bold colors, crisp school logos that profess your loyalty loud and proud. Find everything you need on and off the field at Breedlove's in downtown Kewaunee. Everything sports.
Interactive sports talk with scores, expert analysis, and so much more. Fox Sports Radio, weekends on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
One quarter gone here in Rock Island, where the Alleman Pioneers lead Galesburg 7-0. Alleman with the ball here as we're just getting the second quarter about to begin. Elsewhere, involving conference schools tonight, in the first quarter, Manuel leading United Township in Peoria 6-0. And Richwoods has an early 7-0 lead over Rock Island in the first quarter. A one-yard touchdown run by Max Barris for the Knights.
Might shoot my theory down. I said I wouldn't be surprised to see Rock Island run the table in this conference, even though it's pretty balanced. But Richwoods, of course, they don't want to start 0-2 either.
Right.
So, you know, they've been pretty well tested after they were upset last week by Peoria Notre Dame. And, you know, as the year goes along, that may not show to be such an upset. Notre Dame might be pretty good for a couple of years here.
Here it's 7-0. Pioneers lead on, of all things, a passing play. Quarterback Kevin O'Keefe completed it to Brady Hoskins for 10 yards. About midway through the first quarter, that's the only score of the game so far. It's 7-0 as we just begin the second quarter. On 2nd and 6, O'Keefe on the keeper, tucks it in, goes to the right side, runs into some Silver Streaks white defenders at the 45-yard line. Across the 45 with forward momentum, close to the 47 and close to a first down.
First man there for Galesburg, Christian Powers coming in. The junior linebacker did a nice job standing up the runner, but they did pick up a tidy gain. Now a very third and short, maybe one, maybe not even that.
Yep, they don't need much. It's close to a yard, probably a little less. Again, just underway here in the second quarter. Ball spotted just inside the near hash mark at the 47-yard line. As the Alleman Pioneers approach midfield, and on the quarterback keeper, O'Keefe gets down low, and he's got more than enough for the first down as he gets to midfield and maybe even a little cross for a gain of 4. So that's Alleman's first third down conversion of the night. Both teams were 0-for-3 on third downs in the first quarter, but Alleman had 2 fourth down conversions on their scoring drive, and that's where we stand at 7-0. And Pioneers now the nose of the football sitting in Silver Streaks territory.
Big Mylon Blissett playing the nose for Galesburg. He's a sophomore, 300-pounder. And he did what he could there. He knew the quarterback was coming, but he wasn't quite quick enough to wrap him up, so he grabbed the next guy and threw him to the ground. Unfortunately, he didn't have the ball.
O'Keefe in the shotgun with Connor Doak behind him. O'Keefe on the keeper with a big hole across the left side. Silver Streaks wrap him up at the 46-yard line for a gain of 4.
I think that was Powers again on the tackle there. Christian Powers doing a nice job from the linebacker spot here as the Silver Streaks try to, you know, this Alleman team, as soon as I say this, they'll run a long play. But traditionally, they're, especially without Hoogerwerf, they're probably a little more of a grinded-out type of team. And they'll just wear you down going down the field.
2nd and 6 for the Pioneers upcoming from the Galesburg 46-yard line.
Well, that Adam Hoogerwerf they had last year was something else.
Just a playmaker.
Oh, just every difficult catch that needed to be made, he'd make it, and he was fast on top of it. He was something else.
Crouches under center. Handoff goes to the left side. And all the way upfield inside the 35-yard line. And a big run that time by Connor Doak as they faked left. And it goes to Doak instead to the right. And great blocking, including O'Keefe, the quarterback, leading the way with some of that. Down inside the 35 to the 33-yard line for a gain of 13.
Yeah, Doak had 24 yards last week, only carried 5 times as they try and spread it out a little and not give Hubble the ball every play. But he's got it now, and he's down.
To the 30-yard line, he still picks up 3, not a big gain, but enough to move it a little bit more inside Galesburg territory, a pickup of 3 down to the 30.
Matt Hawkins with a solo tackle there for Galesburg. Matt, who got kicked in the back of the head there in the second half of that game last week, had to come off to the sidelines for a little bit, but then finished big in the fourth quarter. But as we were talking on the way up, we saw he and his dad, Steve, after the game, and he was still kind of holding the back of his head, and you could tell he was still trying to shake off the effects of that.
7th play of this Alleman drive, and a bad snap, and the ball pops up into the air, and O'Keefe has to go backwards, and it looks like he did finally fall on it before the swarming Silver Streaks defenders got there, and that'll be a loss back to the 37-yard line, so they end up losing 7 on the play.
Could use a few more of those.
So Alleman has fumbled twice now, but they've managed to recover both of them.
You know, for years, the joke about Alleman was they never threw the football, never threw the football. And then over the last 4 or 5, I think they've pretty well quieted that down. I mean, obviously they'd rather run, but with some of the skill position people that they've had and making those deep state runs, they've had to throw the ball some. And so they will do it and probably will do it right here.
Well, and a big tight end, Alec Diab, at 6'6", 243, lines up to the right. And now the Pioneers are going to call another timeout. Their 2nd. Just past the 8.5-minute mark of quarter number two, and Alleman leading 7-0. And on 3rd and 14, they'll go ahead and take a timeout here and make sure they've got everybody squared away on what they want to run here. Good chance to promote our halftime interview. We'll focus on the Silver Streaks today, Jim.
Yeah, Marla Clay will be our guest at halftime, the Silver Streaks volleyball coach of 20 years, I believe she told me now. And so we'll reminisce a little about the past, but mostly focus a couple of matches this week, one to a talented Quincy team with a big girl that was a real problem for them, and then fell at Dunlap last night. But always a lot of learning, a lot of fun to be had in the volleyball program at Galesburg High School. So we'll talk that over with Marla Clay here during the halftime report.
Sophomores lost tonight here at Rock Island. Varsity trailing 7-0. As Alleman comes out of its second timeout, just under 8.5 minutes to go here in this first half. 3rd and 14 from the Galesburg 37-yard line in the shotgun. O'Keefe creeping backward as the snap comes. Good protection. Pass across the middle.
Nice job.
Knocked away and nearly intercepted by Michael Moss. The intended receiver was Sheridan. And he dove in front. And I don't know if he ever really even got a hand on the ball, but he definitely shielded Sheridan as he went for the interception. So it falls incomplete.
Yeah, ball was thrown low, and Moss got to parallel to the turf, diving across there in front of the intended receiver. Heck of an effort by Moss, and like you said, Brad, whether he got a hand on it or not, it still broke up the play. Moss came up with his hands on his helmet. I think he thought he should have picked it off. So now we've got a fourth down. Looks like they'll go for it on 4th and 13.
Going to line up for it. Alleman converted 2 fourth-down attempts in the first quarter. Swing pass to the left side. It's caught, trying to get to the outside.
There
Brady Hoskins, and the Streaks are able to stop him.
Good job.
Short of the 30-yard line, and he actually had to get inside the 25 for the first down. So good containment effort by the Silver Streaks defense. And Galesburg takes over on downs, 8:16 to go here in this first half.
Good job by the Streaks defense. You know, they gave up a couple of plays, but they hung in there as they did a lot of times last week against Moline. They were able to keep the Maroons off the board in a couple of key situations, enough that we stayed close. And as it turned out, it proved worthwhile as we tacked on those two late scores and won that game. Trail 7-0 here, but with the ball deep in our own territory. Not deep anymore, though.
Handoff right up the middle for Ben Holloway. His best run of the night across the 45, close to the 47-yard line for a gain of 15 on first down. And the Silver Streaks just like that. Maybe that's the lift they need to get this offense moving.
Really nice to see. There have been a couple of years we've played Alleman that we have never gained 15 yards on a play. I mean, that's no joke. They have been so tough on us against the run. That was nice to see.
On first down, handoff goes to the left side. More conservative play this time, and the Silver Streaks pay for it. Stopped at the 45 and crushed backwards. And was that Holloway again?
So.
He's slow to get up this time, and it appears to be all right. He'll lose ground back to the 44, loss of 3.
Yeah, the Streaks offense be kind of like Knox's this year because Coach Damon Tomeo said, well, Derek Mortensen, of course, they're terrific running back is the key to their backfield. He said he'd like to carry it 50 times. He said we're going to try to keep it to 20 or 30.
Isaacson on the option, pitches it outside to Holloway, tries to get to the outside, and he's wrapped up and back to the original line of scrimmage at the 47, and it'll bring up 3rd and 10 now. Silver Streaks had 3 wideouts to the near side, but Alleman was not fooled by it and kept Holloway from getting to the corner after the pitch, and it up comes 3rd down. 7 minutes to go here in this opening half. 7-0 is the Alleman lead. See what the Streaks can do on 3rd down here. And now whistles and a timeout called by Galesburg. The 6:58 to go in this first half. Let's go ahead and take a timeout with them. Pioneers lead by a touchdown. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Hey, Steve Harvey here. Now, I've been told I know a thing or two about surveys, but I was really interested to learn the answers the Illinois Emergency Management Agency gave when asked to name the top 5 items every Illinois family needs to have in their home's emergency disaster kit. Water, non-perishable food, a weather radio, and of course, a first aid kit. There's no need for a family to feud over what to include in your kit. Get the answers at ready.illinois.gov.
Sponsored by the Illinois Emergency Management Agency, aired in cooperation with the Illinois Broadcasters Association and this station.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Timeout Galesburg, 6:58 to go here in this opening half. Alleman Pioneers leading 7-0. Alleman looking for its first win of the year after an upset loss at Peoria Central last week. Galesburg trying to go 2-0. for the second straight year. Out of the shotgun, dropping back. Isaacson on third and 10, lofts it down the middle of the field. Hiker is open, and he catches it down at the 20-yard line. A gain of 33, and the Silver Streaks are in the red zone.
Everybody did their job. Up front, they had to protect a little bit. Peyton had time to let the route develop. Eicher got down the field. Peyton developed a perfect strike down there, and Eicher did his job by catching it. Just got behind his man, fell down making the catch, but held on to it, and the Streaks are in business.
Third completion of the night for Peyton Isaacson. Silver Streaks move it downfield. Hand off to Holloway, who had a little bit of an opening, and then he got held from behind and stopped for a gain of just two. A little more life in that no huddle now.
No question.
They scramble back to the line. They are ready to go.
Two big plays, a run by Holloway leading off this drive, and then the long pass play to Eicher, and now we've got movement on the left side of the Galesburg line.
That's going to be against J.J. Range coming out of the backfield to get into a receiver spot, and it is a false start. So the no huddle works against them as they scramble too quickly. It's going to be second and 13 now.
J.J. turned toward the line of scrimmage there too early, did he?
I think so. All right, Silver Streaks faithful below us here as we are in the opposite side, the visiting side press box, trying to come back to life. Again, Isaacson on a pass play, and it's juggled and dropped and nearly intercepted as the intended receiver again, Eicher, but he was backpedaling as the ball came into his hands, and he couldn't bring it in, and two Alleman defenders there. Silver Streaks lucky that nobody came up with that.
Yeah, Brandon Sheridan there for Alleman. I think part of the problem for Eicher, as soon as he got his fingertips on it, Sheridan had his helmet in the numbers of Eicher, made it really tough to haul that ball in.
So after a false start penalty, now the Galesburg Silver Streaks facing third and 8. With a lone setback, Holloway. Isaacson on the option pitch gets it to Holloway, trying to feel his way to the outside. Sprints forward on the outside, and he's close to a first down on the far side of the field near the 10-yard line. And let's see where this spot is.
From where I'm looking over there,
well,
I'm thinking
looks like
maybe a yard shy.
Yeah, they're going to bring it back actually to the 13, so he's going to be almost 3 yards short, as it turns out. All right, Silver Streaks will go for it on fourth down. Their first fourth down attempt of the night from the Alleman 13-yard line. Fourth and 3. Out of the shotgun. Silver Streaks on the line, packed in tight. Hand off to Holloway, and there's just not much there. And he gets across the 15, maybe back to the 14-yard line. They're going to end up losing a yard on the play and turning it over on downs.
Yeah, he ran left off tackle, but about 8 of the 12 Alleman jerseys were in the box that time and just buried him. No chance on that play. So maybe not a very creative call, but still one that I'm sure Coach Doherty thought had an opportunity to work in that situation. Looks like we went with a longer count, which is wise on anything under 5 yards on a fourth down. You'd love to offer the defense to just give you the first down by jumping, but Alleman stayed home. Nobody jumped, and they end up making the stop.
So Alleman bends but does not yield. And they still lead 7-0 and take over from their own 14-yard line. Handoff up the middle, and Hubble gets hit hard at the line of scrimmage. Maybe gets back to the 15-yard line. Big hit by the Galesburg defense to stop that play in its tracks.
Yeah, Galesburg getting tough up front again. It was Matt Hawkins that time fighting off some of the blocks of some of the big boys up there for Alleman. Looked early like they're kind of like last week where Moline's line, we thought, well, they're just going to dominate this game, but as it wore on, Galesburg seemed to get more comfortable and played better, and I think that's happening here again.
Alleman splitting two wideouts to the near side now. Man in motion in the backfield is Hubble, trying to get to the corner. Flag is down. That's going to be a hold against the Pioneers, and Hubble has stood up at the 22-yard line and moved backwards, so he'll be a couple of yards short of the first down, but on a hold call, this one's going to come back, and that was wide out there in the open.
Yeah, you can't get away with that one. The whole Galesburg sideline called that one, too. It was kind of a block in the back as much as a hold, and it was evident for all to see, so the official will talk it over with the Galesburg captain, and we will take that penalty. Thank you.
So they're going to back this one up all the way inside, well, right between the 7 and the 8-yard line. So it goes as a big loss with that 10-yard penalty from the spot of the foul. And now this will bring up 2nd and 16. 2nd and 17, we'll call it, actually, from 4:40 to go here in this first half. Alleman leading 7-0, but now pushed back inside their own 10-yard line. Galesburg defense trying to respond. O'Keefe with a handoff left, little bit of a hole, bouncing off a man trying to get to the outside is Connor Doak, and finally dragged down by the jersey from the backside, as it was Christian Powers who hung in there, but not before Doak got almost all the way up to the 20-yard line, so he picked up almost 12 on that play.
Yeah, Michael Moss, also a handful of jersey that time, was not going to let him get away, so a good game, but it could have been worse. Streaks will try and get the big third down stop here on third and five
will get it for sure. Maybe closer to four. Under 4 minutes and the clock rolling in the first half. Alleman with the ball just inside their own 20-yard line. Pitch to the outside, trying to get to the corner on the far side. Kylie Dorsey now up the sideline, and he steps out of bounds. But enough for the first down. And where are they going to mark at the 31-yard line? So he gains 12 on a big third down conversion for the Pioneers, only their second of the night. But that moves them deep out of their own territory up to the 31-yard line. And they maintain possession with 3:41 to go here in this first half.
Yeah, good call from the Alleman sideline. They hadn't run wide in a while, and I think even when he got it and headed left, I think our defenders were expecting maybe he'd turn it up inside. Well, he didn't. He just headed for the sideline. We didn't have anybody from the secondary fast enough to get out there and stop him.
On first down, misdirection handoff to Dorsey coming from the right, popping around to the left side. Silver Streaks contained it pretty well, stopped him short at the 35 at about the 34 for a gain of 3. So back-to-back carries for Kylie Dorsey, a gain of 12, now a gain of 3. And it's 2nd and 7 for the Pioneers from their own 34-yard line.
Well, so far here with 3:20 to go in the first half, you got to feel pretty good about the Silver Streaks' performance so far. After that first touchdown, I thought, boy, this could be a long night, but we've settled in and have played them toe-to-toe ever since that.
Feel better if the Silver Streaks can get one of those turnovers like they got last week against Moline. Hand off to the right side. O'Keefe keeps it,
maybe
then just
it.
Pitches it back out there, and all Hubble can do is scramble for it and fall on it back at the 28-yard line. So O'Keefe was almost in the process of being taken down. He just sort of put the ball up for grabs back behind the line of scrimmage, and I think Coach Tim Doherty on the sideline maybe calling for an in the grasp and grounding, something like that, but they say he got it away before he was down, and Alleman ends up losing it back to the 28-yard line for a loss of 6. And that'll bring up 3rd and 13.
Well, a stop here, and we might have one more shot at a score before half, but even if not that, just to get the stop here and keep it a 7-point game.
In the shotgun, O'Keefe, the quarterback. Takes the handoff, back to pass, a little bit of a rush in his face. He gets out of it at the 20, sprints forward to the 30, up to the 40-yard line. A flag is down. He's free across the 50, inside the 40, down to the 20, the 10. He's going to score, but will it count? A flag is down back at the Alleman 38-yard line.
Got to think there's going to be a hold in there somewhere.
I'm wondering if it's an illegal block in the back.
Wow, he was rocked and got knocked backwards. There were 3 streaks, had a chance at him, and then as so often happens, you get a bit of over-pursuit, and he takes it all the way to the house. But again, we're hoping that that flag is going to be against the Pioneers.
It's a hold against Alleman, and it's coming back, much to the relief of the Silver Streaks crowd.
And to several players, including Mark Ojeda, who was just beside himself down there.
Well, he's the one who made the initial hit. He's the one who spun off 2 defenders in the backfield and turned right into the face of O'Keefe, and somehow O'Keefe got away from him. And as you said, Jim, that's when the play really broke up and he was off to the races.
Yeah, I'm not sure Ojeda and some of them realized there was a penalty flag. They were just distraught over the fact that he got away for that score. But the flag brings it all the way back, and basically the ball's right where it was, isn't it?
Pretty much. Huh. Back at the 28-yard line. Fourth penalty of the night, and Alleman's had some big ones. None bigger than that one as it negates a touchdown. So 3rd and 13 again with a minute 55 to go in the first half.
Ooh, O'Keefe's got to be winded.
Now they seem to be taking a little extra time coming out of the huddle there.
Yeah, he ran all the way down
the field. And now Alleman's going to call timeout, maybe, just to give him a little more of a breather.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised, because he got hit, knocked backwards, and then ran 80 yards on a sprint, and then 80 yards all the way back up the field to start the next play. So, yeah, I think that may have a lot to do with this timeout.
And that is Alleman's final timeout of the first half. We'll see if that makes any difference here in this final minute 55.
Might go ahead and mention our transportation for tonight. Again, the Our friends out at Galesburg Nissan providing our transportation for our first road trip of the year. We're in a car that scoots right along, from what I hear. Nissan Maxima. It's, what's it called? Silver or gray? Nice black leather interior, neat wheels that really give it a sporty look. And it's one of the certified pre-owned fleet out at Galesburg Nissan. I believe it's got about 24,000 on it. It's a 2011 model, but loaded with very comfortable air-conditioned black leather seats. Did you notice that coming up? The air conditioning coming up through your seat in the bottom?
No,
yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I was so focused on making sure the vent was blowing on me because I was so hot, I didn't notice. Well, I'm definitely going to check that out on the way home.
Even cooling down low. So stop by and see that. Of course, their certified pre-owned fleet, 1.9% financing up to 72 months at Galesburg Nissan.
Third and 13 coming out of the timeout. Better protection. The pass is complete. And the Silver Streaks wrap him up on the far side. Brady Hoskins with the reception. But Galesburg is able to contain as Jake Ferguson came in, made the stop just short of the 35-yard line. And that'll bring up fourth and seven. And now Coach Tim Doherty wants to call timeout. 35 to go in this first half. And Galesburg has one timeout remaining, anticipating an Alleman punt.
Well, and if Alleman kicks the ball the way they did the last time, we're going to not have a real good chance to score because the guy just crushed the ball. But, you know, on a punt, anything can happen. You get a bad snap, you get a block, a number of things. So if you're on the defensive side of the ball, it is wise to go ahead and, you know, force that offensive unit to execute the punt play, even if you don't expect to get very good field position when it's all said and done.
And again, coming up at halftime, Jim's interview with Silver Streaks volleyball head coach Marla Clay. So we invite you to stay tuned for that coming up at halftime. Also, look at all the first half scoring statistics and what's been a pretty quick moving first half with a minute 35 to go. Alleman leading 7-0. And coming out of the Silver Streaks timeout, Alleman in punt formation. Ben Holloway deep at his own 30-yard line. This punt will be kicked away at about the 27 on the Alleman end of the field.
You can usually figure on the Alleman game being one of the shorter games of every fall season because they do so much ball control. The clock just tends to melt away.
We're not used to short games here at Rock Island High
School's
Almquist Field.
When we play Rock Island, it's always one of the longest games of the year.
All right, coming out of punt formation now. Again, Holloway actually backed up a little bit more inside his 30-yard line. This one not quite as strong of a kick. Holloway comes up and makes a quick fair catch call at the 35-yard line. So no time runs off the clock. Silver Streaks have a minute 31 to move it 65 yards downfield and get on the board, trailing by seven here.
Well, let's run that same play we ran with Ben Holloway in the fourth quarter against Moline last week. That worked out pretty well.
49-yard touchdown run that turned the momentum back in the Silver Streaks' favor when they were struggling to move the ball throughout the middle quarters.
I'm guessing with Coach Dave DeJager in the stands, they've probably got that one pretty well looked at. Might have to try a different avenue to catch Alleman asleep.
Empty backfield for Peyton Isaacson, and he carries it himself. Back across the line of scrimmage. Gain of about a yard and a half on first down.
I remember
Silver Streaks playing it conservatively, at least on the first play.
Coach Doherty on the post game last week, I remember I asked him, what about that play? He said, well, we executed. And a lot of times that is the case. If you've got a good enough play and the people to do the job, if everybody does their job, then good things happen.
Galesburg's no huddle is not exactly looking to be in any kind of major hurry here. Hand off to Holloway. Found
there
an opening across the middle with three men to beat. He almost breaks free and finally taken down inside the Alleman 30-yard line to the 27. He was running with three Alleman defenders. Holloway just kept scrambling. He broke free of two of them, but he couldn't free up his shoulder pads from the third, but he takes it down to the Alleman 27.
And the third was Matt Hubble, the speedster running back for Alleman on offense. That was the only reason that the Streaks did not score there. But I think if he could have just gotten free from Hubble, he might have run away from him too.
Gain of 37. Now back to pass quickly inside 45 seconds. Pass to Eicher on the near side, trying to get to the sideline, and he's wrapped up just short of the 20-yard line for a gain of seven more. And the clock rolling with 35 seconds to go before halftime.
Well, heads-up play by Eicher, though. The minute he got it, he was headed towards the sideline, but just couldn't quite get there. Nice to see the young man understanding the game situation, though, knowing what needs to be done.
Isaacson getting the call in from the sideline. Two wideouts to the near side, the short side of the field, one to the top of the field. Isaacson looks that direction, tucks the ball in, tries to scramble free, gets away from one man on the inside, tries to get to the outside and runs out of bounds at the 17-yard line. And that'll be very close to a first down with 10 seconds to go is where the clock stops.
Yeah, a bit of a magic act by Isaacson right there. Very athletic play. But the only downside, that play took a long time. And as you said, Brad, we're down to 10 seconds left, and we're still at the 17 of Alleman.
On third and less than a yard, Silver Streaks 0 for 5 on third downs here in this first half. 10 seconds to go. Isaacson ran out of bounds to stop the clock. Silver Streaks need less than a yard for a first down. Isaacson in the shotgun thinking about scoring here with the last 10 seconds on the clock. Up the middle again. Holloway, he breaks free. It's a touchdown. No flags. And the Silver Streaks pull off a magic act.
Unbelievable that he's able to fight through twice in this drive.
And right up the middle both times.
Yeah, against that vaunted Alleman defense. And the Silver Streaks have done their homework and done their jobs down the stretch here in the first half, and with an extra point kick could tie this game. That'll send some shockwaves through the Western Big Six when they see that score at halftime.
Down 7-6 now with 4 seconds to go in the first half. Isaacson needs to compose himself and now line up for the extra point attempt on a hold from Tyler Podwoiski. The snap is good. The kick is down, and a flag flies as Isaacson boots it between the uprights. It's going to be a false start against Galesburg, and they'll back up 5 yards.
In many ball games, the extra point kick, especially early in the game, is sometimes considered a bit of a throwaway. If we miss it, no big deal. When you're playing Alleman, you don't know how many opportunities you're going to have to be in the end zone. So when you get a chance to tie the game, it's very important that you get it tied. And don't put yourself behind when you've done so much work to get down there and get in the end zone. So the Streaks are going to take their time here. They'll be kicking the ball with it spotted at the 15. So a 25-yard extra point kick coming up here for Peyton Isaacson, and a big one.
Well, and to further prove your point, Jim, last week Peoria Central scored 6 touchdowns, converted the extra point only one time.
Wow.
It was a pass play, and they ended up winning the game by 2. The snap is good. Isaacson's kick definitely has the distance. It's good, and we are tied. 4 seconds to go before halftime. The Silver Streaks move the ball 65 yards in a minute 27 against this Pioneer defense. And just before halftime, we're tied.
Well, and Peyton Isaacson doing a pretty good job in transition from, he played a lot of baseball during the spring and then during the summer with the Legion. They played 50-some-odd games. And making the transition from using his arm, which is primarily what you use in baseball, especially when you're pitching and catching as much as Peyton was, to using your leg there to kick the extra point, shows you what a terrific athlete that young man is. And Silver Streaks are tied in this one with 4 seconds to go before the half. And, boy, pinch me. When Alleman took that opening possession and scored, I was just thinking at that point, I hope we can, you know, keep this thing respectable tonight. Well, it's pretty respectable here at halftime. It's tied.
Well, even after the Silver Streaks got the ball with a minute 31 to go here before halftime, and Isaacson had that very conservative little carry right up the middle on the first play, it looked, for all intents and purposes, like the Silver Streaks were going to play it close, not make any mistakes, deep back inside the 40-yard line, and just let the clock run out. And then Holloway breaks off that 37-yard run, and everything changed. So here's Isaacson's kick with 4 seconds to go, and it's a roller, a worm burner, end over end, taken at the 27-yard line, and Alleman just scoots forward and falls down just across the 35-yard line, and we're at halftime, tied at 7. Galesburg scores literally seconds before halftime, and we go into the locker room all knotted up here at Rock Island between the Pioneers and the Silver Streaks. When we come back, Jim Lee's interview with Streaks volleyball head coach Mar LeClay. We'll get some scores from around the area, tell you about those. We'll add up the stats and run through the numbers for you as well. All coming up on the Halftime Show at Rock Island, Alleman and the Silver Streaks tied at 7. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg and by Dickerson's Photography on West Main Street in Galesburg. Timeless images for you and your family.
Steak, how I yearn for you on this morning. My mouth waters for your delectable flavor. You put a fire in my belly that can only be described as full.
So a steak Start your morning with one of McDonald's steak and egg sandwiches made with perfectly seasoned premium steak, a tasty egg, grilled onions, melted American cheese, and served on a toasty muffin or biscuit.
Come to me, my love.
The simple joy of delicious devotion. For a limited time at participating McDonald's.
Never miss the action.
Two on the play clock. Snap is back. Here comes pressure from McClellan. Oh. And down goes Stafford. Hit hard from behind. That's a sack. Sack by Julius Peppers.
The Bears look to begin their season undefeated when they take on the Bengals.
Hi, this is Jeff Joniak. Pre-game coverage of the Chicago Bears begins at 11:30 Sunday morning on the Laser.
Your home for the Chicago Bears in West Central Illinois is 92.7 FM. The Laser.
And we'll recommend you to all our family and friends. Wasn't that nice?
I think you skipped a page.
I don't think so.
The part where they wrote, Michelle was a joy to work with.
Okay. It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. Proud to join with the rest of the Silver Streaks fans to cheer our team on to another winning season.
The official WGIL forecast, partly cloudy with a low of 62 tonight. Tomorrow, sunny with highs of 93. Tomorrow night, cloudy with lows of 65. Sunday, partly sunny with a high of 86. Sunday night, partly cloudy, lows getting down to 66. Monday, partly cloudy with highs of 92. Monday night, partly cloudy with lows getting down around 70. And Tuesday, sunny with highs of 94. Tuesday night, cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows dropping down into the 70s. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 78 at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with a halftime report.
Halftime with Silver Streaks football, and time to talk another GHS athletic, and that is volleyball going on. The season got underway on Tuesday, and Marla Crowley joins us now, the head coach of the Silver Streaks volleyball team again this year. Marla, I hope you had a good summer and fall off to a good start.
Yeah, it really is. We have a nice bunch of girls, and you know, one of the things you really enjoy is when they get along and they're willing to work hard and put the time in, and that's the type of group I have this year. So it's been a good summer, and I'm looking forward to the fall.
Every coach would love to have a bunch of returning all-conference performers, a lot of veteran players, but sometimes you go through a stretch where you have a lot of young players that you're trying to mature, and it sounds like for the most part that's kind of the case for you, isn't it?
Yeah, we do have a number of juniors. We only have three seniors on our team, and then we have a sophomore playing who is going to be a great player for us, and she's got some learning to do, but she started off last night and had a great night, and that was Shaylee Florlene. And she did a nice job. I was very, very pleased with her. Because, you know, sometimes when you have that first start and you're playing a team like Quincy, that's a tough start on the season. And she really handled it well. So I was very pleased.
Yeah, you were telling me Quincy brought a big girl to town that was just too tough to stop.
Yeah, Monica took it to us. And I knew she was a really good player. And we were playing a 5-1, and we started in rotation 3. So Shaylee wouldn't have to start against her right off the bat because that's a pretty tough assignment right out of the gate. And we just couldn't stop her. So then in the second game, we put Shaylee against her, and Shaylee did a pretty good job. I mean, that's a senior going against a sophomore, so I was pleased with the effort. I was really pleased with our digging. I thought our defense was really scrappy, and we did some nice things. We just couldn't quite get her stopped.
How much off-season work do the girls put in? Do you require a certain amount of camps or that sort of thing?
We do two camps, and then we do basically three practices a week. And we always go at 6:30 in the morning, so we do the early morning stuff. And, you know, I've done it for a long time, and I really have the kids convinced that it's the best time to go because if you've got a job, it doesn't interfere, and usually you don't have to deal with the heat, so...
So they put in their off-season work. And who are your captains going into this season?
This year it's Madison Reed, Madison Ross, and Brooke Van Outigan. Mm-hmm. So we have three.
Okay. All right. Well, you've lost the opener to Quincy, but you've got a full schedule ahead of you. What would you like to see this team? Obviously, you want to win some games, but what are the things you're looking for them to turn the corner and become a better team?
One thing I said to them last night is I didn't want them to get down because I thought we really did a lot of positive things last night. I really thought defensively we hung in there. We did a nice job being scrappy and getting the ball back. And the one thing we have to improve on is our blocking, and I've kind of harped on that all summer. And I said, you know, this was a chance to see why I complain about blocking because we got to get our hands on it to slow it down and give us a chance. But I was really pleased with just the team aspect of it. They stayed together. They worked hard. They didn't quit. And I told them if they can play like that all year long, they're going to win a lot of games because not everybody's going to be as big as Quincy was and as strong of a team as Quincy is going against us.
What's the favorite skill? I mean, when you're playing basketball, everybody wants to shoot the ball, or most of the time. In volleyball, not everybody's big enough to spike. So do some seem to enjoy the digging more and some the setting more and some being the kill shot artist?
You know, I think that's true. And the thing that I love about volleyball is you can't hide on the court. So the whole thing is if you're a great hitter, you're not going to get that set if the pass doesn't get there. So it's really a sport that is just pure teamwork. And if one aspect is not there, then you're not going to get the beauty of the sport and get the great hits, because the great hits really take a good pass. And that is something that this group has worked on very hard over the summer and this fall. We've really focused on our passing. And I just think you have people that play specialty spots, but you can never hide on the court. So when you're out there, you're exposed and you got to be able to perform all the skills, and it really builds, I think, team morale when you're able to put it together.
I know that I read an article that you were in the paper, and they said you really focused, too, on how important it is for these girls when they leave high school to carry this with them, the experience of teamwork. And volleyball is something that you can play for a long time when you get out of school.
You really can, and I've had a number of players that maybe they weren't the best player, but they tell me how much they enjoy playing in their recreational leagues. And I had one player write me that she was really excited that her team thought she was a great setter and thought she had great skills. And, you know, it really does build. And I think volleyball is a sport that it's much more complicated than the backyard stuff that people play. And when you get those skills, then it's fun to go out and just play forever, because you can always play volleyball.
Do the kids watch much volleyball? I mean, it's not something that's on TV every day, but certainly at Olympic time, it just blows me away, the speed and the power at which the game for the women and the men is played. And then, of course, the beach volleyball is a whole other animal.
Yeah, and when the Olympics was going on, that was one thing we talked about, because, you know, it was in August, so we were together all the time, and you could really watch it and appreciate it. And, you know, the thing with beach volleyball, as I said, it really shows how a defense is set by that block, because the person behind is not going to cover what the block's taking away. So that is something that we always work on the court. And it's just exciting for, I think, the girls to see the higher level volleyball and see that they're performing those skills, not as fast, not as hard, but it's still there. So I think it's a chance for them really to see good volleyball and then to try to mock it on our court.
As you look at the schedule, Quincy's going to be obviously very tough. Who are the other teams that you look for in the conference and elsewhere that will probably be the tough ones on your schedule?
Rock Island's going to be good. They were a pretty young team last year, and they got a lot of height, and height is not something we have, so that's something that we're going to struggle with. Also, Moline, they have some big girls, and I look for them to be strong in the conference also. So I really think the conference is pretty even. I mean, Quincy is excellent, obviously. I think last year Rocky lost in two to Quincy, and they're more senior dominant. They lost a really good setter, so in Jackie. So that's going to be tough, I think, for Rocky to replace. But I look for them to be really strong in the conference.
And then focusing on your team, are you pretty set with your starters right now, or is that always open for, I suppose, like any coach, that's open for improvement of somebody to take over a spot?
Yeah, I think it is open. You know, last night we tried to go with our biggest lineup possible because we knew we were playing height. And I really have a lot of kids that I think are interchangeable. And I think that's probably something that helps us in practice, because it makes it competitive and the kids always know they got a chance to get out on the court.
Well, and especially with just three seniors, you've got a lot that I'm sure are trying to not only do well this year, but be able to make a name for themselves in the years ahead.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, this year we had, last year Brooke Van Ottigen was somebody who played libero for us. She's a good passer. And last night she led us in kills with Shaylee. So, you know, I think kids always see that maybe this is their position this year. And there's always a chance that it can change from year to year, depending on what we need.
How long have you been the coach here now?
a long time. I believe this is my 20th season going into varsity, but forever, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, it's always interesting. I've got into it in broadcasting, too. It seems like they're in high school now. The next thing you know, they're married and they're having kids of their own. It just goes quickly, doesn't it?
It really does, and I'm amazed at how long I've done it, but I think the kids are fun, and I think they keep you coming back.
All right. Any other thoughts as you head into this season, Marla?
No. Hopefully we'll have a great season, and all the other Silver Streaks will, too.
All right. And we'll hope that it continues to stay cool. We've had enough hot weather for a while.
Yes, definitely. It was a little warm last night, but not like it was last week.
That's Marla Clay. She's the volleyball coach at Galesburg High School, and she's been our guest here at halftime of Silver Streaks football on WGIL. Back with more on the Halftime Report after this.
Celebrating 75 years as Galesburg's radio station.
WGIL.
Local news now.
Galesburg School District Superintendent Bart Arthur is expected to recover after suffering a mild stroke. That's according to a statement from the district. They don't say specifically when the stroke occurred, but that Arthur will take 6 weeks off of work to recover. Arthur remains hospitalized but is expected to be released soon. Arthur, a longtime district administrator and former Churchill Junior High School principal, took over as superintendent in January, not long after becoming assistant superintendent for curriculum and instruction. Former Illinois Governors Jim Thompson and Jim Edgar says state Senator Kirk Dillard is the only Republican who can win next year's race for governor. They're urging party leaders to support the Hinsdale lawmaker in the primary over Senator Bill Brady, Treasurer Dan Rutherford, and businessman Bruce Rauner. Dillard narrowly lost to Brady in 2010. A girl reported missing from Champaign yesterday has been found safe in southeast Missouri. 13-year-old Cleo Younce was with a 21-year-old man she knew through mutual friends, and he's been arrested. I'm Will Stevenson. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Don Matheson. The G20 summit has ended. During the meetings, President Obama made the case for U.S. military action against Syria because it used chemical weapons.
I would say that the majority of the room is comfortable with our conclusion that Assad, the Assad government, was responsible for their use.
On Tuesday, the president will pitch the public and Congress on the need to act against Syria. Former NFL player Aaron Hernandez pleaded not guilty to murdering Olden Lloyd.
We on the prosecution side are hoping for an early trial. We'd like to see this case tried within 1 year, and ideally, the defense would like to see the same thing.
Prosecutor Sam Sutter. The defense lawyers say there is no evidence against Hernandez. Fox News, we report, we decide.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2014 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program, so the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better.
Hey Illini fans, single game tickets for Fighting Illini football are on sale now. This year's schedule features 7 home games, including 4 against marquee Big Ten opponents. Providing great family entertainment at affordable prices, Illinois football is the place to be on Saturdays starting in September. Take advantage of one of the best values in college football and get your single game tickets today. Season tickets are still available as well for as low as $99. Order yours today at FightingIllini.com or call 1-866-ILLINI1.
You want more space. How does over 2,000 square feet sound? There's a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath, bi-level home at 1069 Paradise Acres in Galesburg that'd be perfect. And it's for sale by owner. Go to galesburg.info, keyword FISBO, for a virtual tour.
I'm News Director Will Stevenson. If you see news happening or want us to report on a story, tell us about it 24/7 by emailing news@wgil.com.
Halftime at Onquist Field at Rock Island, where the Silver Streaks and the Alleman Pioneers are tied up at 7. How did we get here? Early on in the game, Galesburg had the ball to start things off, and on the third play, Peyton Isaacson fumbled after getting hit, and the Pioneers took over from their own from the Galesburg 30-yard line, and it didn't take the Pioneers long to take advantage of it. They put together an eight-play scoring drive that covered those 30 yards, and from 10 yards out on fourth down, of all things, Holloman went for everything, and this is what resulted. Back to pass, O'Keefe with a sideline swing pass. It's caught, going for the end zone, and in goes Brady Hoskins for the touchdown. So they ran the ball, and then on fourth down, Silver Streaks were down 7-0, and that's really where we stayed for quite some time. Holloman ended up putting together a scoring, or what appeared to be a scoring drive, with under 5.5 minutes to go in the first half. Kevin O'Keefe, the quarterback, was bounced out, flushed out of the pocket, was hit a couple of times back behind the 20-yard line, and on the broken play, he ended up finding a seam, took it up the near sideline, and outran everybody to the end zone, but it ended up being called back on a holding penalty, and the Silver Streaks defense then held, and after the punt took over from their own 35-yard line with a minute 31 to go before halftime, Isaacson had a very conservative little one-yard run on first down, and just when it looked like the Silver Streaks might be content to just run out the clock and go down or go to the locker room down by a touchdown, Ben Holloway ran off a 37-yard run right up the middle of the field, and the Silver Streaks were in business down to the Holloman 27. Isaacson then threw a 7-yard completion to Josh Eicher. Isaacson sprinted to the far side of the field, stepped out of bounds after a gain of 3 to get to the 17. And on third down, Holloway again, right up the middle, ran at 17 yards for the touchdown with 4 seconds to go before halftime. And the Silver Streaks and the Pioneers are knotted up at 7 here at the half. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Jim Lee will talk with Streaks head coach Tim Doherty here at halftime on Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision.
Shh, you did not just...
Look at that dish. Seared squab with foie gras.
And that thing that just raced by
with my appetite.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision...
Foie gras.
I can't say that. Out of collision.
What is that noise? It's driving me crazy.
Honey, it's our power meter.
Please make it stop.
Put a stop to the clicking by calling Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today. With the installation of higher efficiency central air conditioners, hot water heaters, and furnaces, you can reduce your energy use and your power bill. And that sounds a lot better than... Find out more with a call to Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
There are great properties for sale in Galesburg and the surrounding areas that you might not be aware of because they're for sale by owner. If you or someone you know is looking for a different house, go to galesburg.info. Click on keyword FISBO for all the details. WGIL and the Galesburg Public Schools Foundation congratulates Jackie Stone of Knoxville, this week's Imaginary Duck Hunt winner. Jackie knew the duck was pumping gas at Mobile Mart. Congratulations from WGIL.
Halftime at Rock Island. Galesburg and the Pioneers tied at 7. Holloman will have the ball to begin the second half. And Coach Tim Doherty was huddled up with his coaching staff the entire final 3 minutes of the halftime as the team was out warming up on the field. Jim Lee was visiting with Jay Barshinger, so we'll summarize once Jim gets back up here with us about what the team's strategy is coming out here in the second half, tied with the Pioneers at 7. Elsewhere around the area in Peoria, Rock Island has rallied back 2 second-quarter touchdowns to put the Rocks on top of Peoria Richwood's 20-7. Second quarter in Moline, the Maroons and Peoria Central are knotted up in a scoreless tie. And United Township has rallied back. They lead Peoria Manual 21-12. Cardinals also put together a scoring rally. At last check, they were up 5-0 on Pittsburgh. Jim, what did Jay Barshinger have to say to you? Well, let's go ahead and run the kickoff here first as Galesburg lines it across the middle of the field and dropped there just across the 30-yard line as it went right into the numbers of the Pioneers' Nate Heron. And he was not one of the deep men, but not one of the up men either. And it looked like as the ball came to him, he just kind of flopped down on top of it.
He could have just walked for 10 yards. I don't know why he fell down. The way he was coached. Coach Doherty was indisposed. I'm not sure what he was up to. But, yeah, Jay just said, he said kids are playing a lot of confidence. He said, early on they got down that score, but he said they really feel like this is a game they can get. I said, what are you going to do? He said, well, we've got some things.
Well, so does Olliman on first down as O'Keefe runs it to the far side of the field and picks up a first down across the 40.
He's like, that's it. We've got some things. He just smiled. So hopefully they got something up their sleeve that will work here in the second half to come away with what I think everybody would consider an upset. But we got a lot of football to play here.
And got to play some defense here first as O'Keefe picks up 14 on first down to open the second half. Tied at 7. Again, Galesburg scored just before halftime with 4 seconds to go on a Ben Holloway run as they engineered a minute 27 scoring drive. O'Keefe with the keeper, and there's nowhere to go for him on the left side as he is stopped up and then pushed backwards. Christian Powers, J.J. Range came in late. It was Powers who made the initial stop. Looked like Gage Miller was also in on it.
Gage Miller had a whole lot of that tackle, too. So starting to see these guys really play well as a team. You know, you look out there and you're going to see a lot of guys, you say, well, he's all conference and he's all conference. But the bottom line is they're making a lot of plays together and getting it done against some pretty good teams, Moline and Olliman.
Gain of a yard just underway here in the third quarter, tied at 7. Olliman trying to get to midfield here on the opening drive of the second half. Short shotgun, handoff to the right side, and some running room there for Connor Doak, who gets to the outside, crosses midfield into Galesburg territory, down to the 46-yard line. That'll be a gain of 10 on second down, and they move the chains.
Yeah, Doak showing strength that time, able to carry a defender for an extra 3 or 4 yards before he finally got slammed to the ground. Yeah, you don't want to see Olliman drive the field here opening up the third quarter. Would give them momentum back in addition, of course, to the score. So make them earn every yard. Maybe they're due for another turnover.
One wide out to the top of the field. Handoff goes to the second man through. Looked like Hubble had a hard time kind of reining that ball in against enough control of it to advance the ball to the 44-yard line for a pickup of 2. Olliman ran the ball 23 times for 87 yards in the first half. Silver Streaks ran it 16 times for 90 yards, so they outgained Olliman on the ground by 2 and outgained the Pioneers by 34 through the air. Right? Peyton Isaacson 4 for 7 for 55 yards passing. Kevin O'Keefe through the air 3 for 4 for 21 yards. He did throw the 10-yard scoring strike to Brady Hoskins. Here's 2nd and 7 upcoming after the 3-yard gain by Hubble. Handoff to the right side. Doak got down, or rather it goes to the outside. As Doak got down low, some of the Silver Streaks bought for the fake, but they keep with Kevin O'Keefe to the outside to the 40-yard line, and that'll bring up 3rd and 3.
And Ben Holloway's doing what you're supposed to do in that defensive secondary, not getting sucked in too tight, watching for something to go wide. Holloway got out there, used his good speed, able to limit the gain that time by the Olliman quarterback. That could have been a big gainer if Holloway hadn't have done his job.
Stopped the play at the 39-yard line, and it'll bring up 3rd and 3. Hand off to the right side. Hubble with a burst of speed trying to get to the outside up the far sideline. He's going to go all the way, and he does. So Olliman comes out and puts together a 71-yard scoring drive and a very quick scoring drive for that matter as well. They take only 2.5 minutes off the clock, and the Pioneers, as they scored on the opening drive of the first half, score on their opening possession of the second half and now take a 13-7 lead.
That's what they've been trying to do with Matt Hubble throughout the game. Inside, he hadn't been able to find a whole lot of room there, but he got that sideline very fast. Once he got that, turned that corner, he was gone. Of course, as we said last week, he had 240 yards against Peoria Central. We'd held him pretty well in check until that one.
Austin Gonzalez in for the extra point. Silver Streaks have not led in this game. They tied it up just before halftime, and very quickly here in the second half, a 2.5-minute scoring drive. They fall behind by a touchdown again. 14-7, 9.5 minutes to go. Third quarter, we're just underway. Silver Streaks trail by 7. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2014 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Never miss the action.
2 on a play clock. Snap is back. Here comes pressure from McClellan. Oh. And down goes Stafford. Hit hard from behind. That gets a sack, sacked by Julius Peppers.
The Bears look to begin their season undefeated when they take on the Bengals.
Hi, this is Jeff Joniak. Pre-game coverage of the Chicago Bears begins at 11:30 Sunday morning on the Laser.
Your home for the Chicago Bears in West Central Illinois is 92.7 FM, the Laser.
Tune in for Fighting Illini football as Illinois takes on Cincinnati. Coverage begins at 10:30 tomorrow.
The Fighting Illini play here, Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
The Alleman kickoff squirts out of bounds on the far side of the field. Shorter kick than we've been seeing from Gonzalez. Rolls inside the 20, goes out of bounds at the 16. Galesburg will have it at the 35. 9:30 to go. This will be Galesburg's first possession of the second half. Important to respond here. Even if you just move the ball downfield for a while. We saw last week that a ton of time left in the game, so certainly no reason to panic as Alleman strikes quickly here to start the second half.
Well, and the ability of the Streaks to mix up the run and the pass on that last drive, we'll see if they continue to go that route here early in the third quarter.
Isaacson under center this time, hands off to the left side, trying to bounce to the outside, and the hole closes quickly there.
Is that range that time?
Not so sure it wasn't Tevin Taylor for his first
carry. Yeah, you're right, it was Tevin.
And he lines up at the wing spot to the near side. So that's Taylor's first carry of the season. Goes as a gain of two. And the Streaks try to go right up the middle where Holloway had such great success right before halftime. And he finds nothing there this time. Actually, they do give him forward progress of a yard. Oh, now the stick's coming back, so it goes as no gain. Second and eight, or well, third and eight, rather.
Yeah, Mike Washabaugh, the assistant, was telling me before the game, Tevin is trying to learn what Chris Anderson had been doing for the first couple of months of the summer before he got hurt. So he said it's just taken a while. He said he thinks Tevin will get there, but it's been a long learning process to do it in short notice here before the season after Anderson's injury.
Back to pass, Isaacson on third down. It's nearly intercepted, intended for Michael Moss, and coming back from the far side out of the cornerback spot, Kevin O'Keefe came over and stepped in front of Moss, who thought he was open for the reception in the first down. A good defense by O'Keefe to get over there and knock it away for the incompletion.
Yeah, in fact, O'Keefe looked to me like he had the better line on it than Moss did that time. Probably fortunate that wasn't intercepted. Unfortunately, the Streaks will have to punt after a three and out.
So Galesburg now 0 for 7 on third downs tonight. Isaacson back to kick. Low snap. He scoops it up off the ground. Kicks it very high in the air, but very short. And this will bounce at the 43 and then does take a Galesburg bounce inside the 40 down to the 37. So the Silver Streaks take only a minute 15 off the clock. .8:15 to go, 14-7 Alleman. Pioneers take over from their own 38-yard line. They moved it downfield very efficiently in the opening drive of the second half here. Six plays. They have covered 71 yards. Handoff goes a little bit off tackle to the right. Not a whole lot there. I believe it was Hubble who got the carry. Nope, Doak instead. He'll advance it for a gain of just under 2 yards on first down.
Well, you gave up the one score opening up the second half. As we found out in the first half, you can manage that and get back in. You just don't want to give them another drive here. That would be a tough one to overcome. So let's see the defense shore up here and keep it a one-score game.
Silver Streak scrambling to get back on defense, and the handoff goes to the near side as Doak tries to get to the outside and finally wrapped up and taken down right at the 50-yard line, but that's enough for the first down. And the right side of that Galesburg defense is where the line was really scrambling to get itself set, and I don't know if that was designed or if O'Keefe recognized and just snapped it quickly, but they took advantage of it and got the first down.
Tanner Podwiski over there for the tackle for the Silver Streaks, and yeah, they move the chains again as Alleman with the nose of the ball right on the 50-yard line.
Doak, six carries, now seven carries for 51 yards tonight. Hubble goes in motion. O'Keefe with the keeper up the right side, gets hit once by Holloway and then dragged down from behind, jumping forward to the 45-yard line for a gain of five after the initial hit. So they are back in Galesburg territory now at the 45-yard line. And in three plays, they have advanced the ball 12, 17 yards already.
Down on the turf there at halftime, and I was talking with Steve Davis, photographer for the Register Mail, a little bit, and he was saying that they were telling him that this is the exact same turf we'll be getting at for the new Van Dyke Field at Galesburg, of course, with a little bit different color scheme. I don't think we're going to have red and gold, maybe some black and white or black and silver out there.
Hubble upended by Mark Ojeda, who came charging through the right side of that Alamann offensive line as the handoff went to Hubble, and he was down before he could get anything going for a loss of one. It'll bring up third and six now. So Hubble, coming off his 39-yard touchdown run on his last carry, goes for a loss of one there, and it brings up third and a long six here. Alamann, 3 for 8 on third downs tonight. Approaching the midpoint of quarter number three, Pioneers leading 14-7. O'Keefe on a keeper. Oh. Found a hole across the right side. A little bit of running room, and he might be stopped just short of the first down as he was hit short of the 40-yard line.
Yeah, I think he is just a little short. I would guess the Pioneers, the way they've moved the ball here in the first couple of possessions, will go for this. I mean, it would be to their advantage if they could kick the ball down inside the 10 and make the streaks go 90 yards, but I think they've got enough confidence in their offense to go ahead and go for this. Watch for a long snap count.
Alamann 2 for 3 on fourth downs tonight. They go with a straight snap and a pile across the line of scrimmage, and it looks like he's got enough for the first down. Yep, and O'Keefe comes up off the bottom of the pile at the 38-yard line for a gain of 3.
If not the long count to try and dry you off or dry you offside, go for the quick count, quarterback keeper, and that's what O'Keefe did right there. Easily got the yardage needed for a Pioneer first down.
Down to the Silver Streaks 38-yard line. They're now 3 of 4 on fourth downs tonight. Under 5:20 to go here in the third quarter. Alamann with a 7-point lead, looking for more. A little bit of movement at the line, and the Silver Streaks in the neutral zone, or were they drawn offside?
I think Matt Ojeda just jumped. We'll see what they call here, but I think Mark will get called for that one.
Alamann has certainly picked up the pace of their offense here in the second half.
Yep.
Similar to what the Silver Streaks try to do in the no huddle, but it's not no huddle, but they're just getting to the line more quickly and trying to keep the Streaks defense off balance. Only the third penalty of the game for Galesburg. Makes it 1st and 5, though, now down to the 33-yard line.
You know, every athletic competition and league has trends, and right now the trend in all of football is just to get away from that long, time-consuming huddle and get more plays off.
And off to the left side, Doak spins off a man inside the 25 down to the 23-yard line for a gain of 10 more. That was Kylie Dorsey, actually. They are really mixing it up now between Doak, Dorsey, Hubble, and then O'Keefe every now and then out of the quarterback spot.
You know, fans really enjoy the offense. And now Alderman's in a little more traditional huddle this time, but teams that keep it moving. I remember going to an NFL game for the first time. I couldn't believe how slow it was, all the timeouts and huddles, and there was hardly any action.
Eighth play of the drive, handoff to Dorsey again. Silver Streaks almost stripped it out of there, but it yanked his arms backwards, but then he pulled him back forward, hung onto the ball, and is taken down inside the 20, close to the 18-yard line for a gain of 5 more.
Silver Streaks defensive substitution. Mylon Blissett rumbles back into the game as was that hobbled off the field? I think that was actually Ojeda.
Yep,
comes off favoring his right leg in
looks
some
like
way, shape, or form.
2nd and 5 for the Pioneers inside the Galesburg 20 now. 4:10 to go here in the third quarter. Alamann has moved the ball very efficiently on 2 possessions here in the second half. Handoff goes to the right side. Doak gets down low and dives forward for the marker inside the 13-yard line, close to another first down. And they won't even measure it.
Christian Power is the first one there to get his arms around him, but the ball carrier kept going forward until the guy that just came in the game, Mylon Blissett, came over from the backside. And when he gets ahead of steam and comes over behind you, you're going down 5'10", 300 pounds. He really let him have it.
Nose of the football sitting just outside the 13-yard line. O'Keefe with a handoff and hit at the line of scrimmage at the 10 for a gain of 2.5 more for Dorsey. They'll spot him just inside the 10-yard line for a gain of 3. It'll bring up 2nd and 7 as Alamann trying to build on a 14-7 lead here.
Matt Hawkins off the bottom of the pile there. He was the one that wrapped up first and got credit for the tackle. So Silver Streak's defense is bent enough here in the second half. We don't want to break here and give away another score. Alleman knocking on the door with second down and eight. The ball at the 10-yard line.
This is their 17th offensive play of the second half to just three for Galesburg. O'Keefe with the keeper on the right side. Steps back, sprints forward through a hole. Very close to the goal line, and it's a touchdown. The field judge on the far side of the field standing right there. Very clearly signaled it as O'Keefe was taken down right at the goal line, but he got the ball across to break the plane, and Alleman now leads 20-7 with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Yeah, O'Keefe using his quickness there. He can get into a hole and get it moving pretty fast and able to just get across the goal line for the score. And Alleman obviously making the adjustments they needed to at halftime because they are much more crisp on the offensive side of the ball here in the second half.
Gonzalez in for the extra point. Silver Streaks have had the ball only a minute 15 here in this second half. The kick is the distance. It's between the uprights. It's 21-7. Alleman, 3 minutes to go, third quarter. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
There's a two-bedroom ranch on Hawkinson Avenue in Galesburg that will feel like home from the moment you step through the front door. Find out if this house that's for sale by owner is right for you. Go to galesburg.info, keyword FISBO, for details.
I found out that Galesburg Transit has a new student pass for Sandburg students. I can get a fall semester pass for $55 that's good through December 12th. That gives me unlimited rides and worry-free travel to campus, the mall, grocery store, or the movie theater. Basically, it gets me anywhere I need to go.
O'Keefe with the keeper on the right side.
Just search Galesburg Transit.
Sprints forward through a hole.
I'm Craig McCluskey. Use Galesburg Transit. Catch us now.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
Exactly 3 minutes to go here in the third quarter. Alleman will kick off after their second consecutive touchdown drive to begin the second half here. The kickoff bounces off J.J. Range's shoulders. He scrambles back to the five-yard line, picks it up, and is spun down there for no return whatsoever. It really fell apart when it went off his shoulder pads at the 10-yard line, and Quentin Seben saw what was coming. Tracked him down, and the Silver Streaks are deep in their own territory.
Yeah, the last thing you needed to have happen, I mean, short of a turnover there, was to get knocked clear back here to where you're going to have to go 95 yards just for a score to get you within a score. So a lot of adversity for the Silver Streaks now after things looked pretty good when they were tied at the half at 7.
Deepest position the Silver Streaks have faced in the first game and a half of this young season. Isaacson in the shotgun standing at the end line. Now he scrambles forward to the left, dives back to the 5-yard line, and gains maybe a yard on first down.
Gang tackle for the Pioneers leading the way. Number 33, Connor Doak. Also Andrew Lukowski there for the Pioneers. And as we mentioned, they got a couple of big ones up front who I won't say they've been neutralized, but haven't been doing the lion's share of the tackling, but I'm sure they're wearing down our front line up there. The biggest of the bunch probably for Alleman, big number 78, Jacob Appleman at 6'5", 295.
Biggest deficit the Streaks have faced this season. Isaacson drops back into the end zone to the pass, and he's tackled for loss back behind the 5-yard line. The ball squirts out. He reaches out, grabs it, and the Silver Streaks are in a world of hurt here now, facing third and probably 10 from their own 5-yard line, and they cannot afford to turn around and give the ball up so quickly again.
And right on cue, Appleman, the guy I was talking about, fought off the block there and did make the solo tackle.
So a loss of one on the play. Twice, Isaacson has dropped back as if to pass. He does so again, flushed out of the end zone to the back of the end zone, tries to get it away to Holloway, who was at the 3-yard line as Isaacson was being run down at the back of the end zone. No grounding call with Holloway in the vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
But the Silver Streaks now are going to have to punt.
Yeah, Peyton really got clobbered from the backside there. Fortunate to get the ball off and was tackled right at the back of the end zone. And no rest for the weary. Of course, he carries all the kicking duties for the Streaks, punting and place kicking. So he'll drop back and see if he can root that thing out of there and keep Alleman from getting too good a field position.
This was disastrous position for the Silver Streaks last week against Moline when they gave up a safety snapping the ball out of the end zone. Isaacson is a yard away from the back of the end zone. A good snap and a good kick. Bouncing at the 31, rolling to the 36. Continues to roll across the 40-yard line. Close to the 43, and that's probably the best that Galesburg possibly could have hoped for there. Now the defense has to respond with a minute 20 to go here in the third quarter and not fall further behind. There is a flag down at the 14-yard line on the far side of the field.
We heard our coaching staff yell from the right they thought there were too many men on the field for Alleman. I don't probably take that penalty. I don't think you're going to come out of this, even
that's
if
what
you
it is.
Gain five more, getting any better situation than how that turned out to be. So might be a rare case where you turn down the penalty here to just 5 yards and really would force us to have another good punt with no return.
The officials are calling everybody back. They didn't even get together with the Silver Streaks captains to talk it over. Just going to move the ball up to the 10-yard line.
Are they going to give him an automatic first down? I think they are.
It's a 15-yard penalty.
Well, that's too many men on the field. It's five. What's that?
So it must have been something else.
Never did give us a signal, did they? Not that I could see. Whatever it is, we'll take it.
Well, of course, we're on the far side, so the official's not looking this way. So a 15-yard penalty allows Galesburg to take, to keep the ball up to their own 20-yard line, and now flags fly just as we snap the play again. Well, Alleman did have a bigger penalty tonight, a 10-yard holding penalty that negated an 81-yard touchdown run by the quarterback.
On a play that we could have sacked him for an 8-yard loss. That was quite a play.
The Silver Streaks can take advantage of it as they get a 5-yard false start penalty now. So now it's first and 15, back to their own 15. Isaacson in the shotgun standing at the 10. To the far side of the field, it's caught. J.J. Range gets down low. The man runs past him, and he advances the ball 3 more yards to about the 18. As we approach the one-minute mark of the third quarter.
Tonight, a night where this is the only true Western Big Six game. Everybody else is playing Peoria against the Western Big Six teams. A lot of interesting matchups, as we talked about. Last we knew, Rock Island was leading Peoria Richwoods in probably the highest profile of the games.
20-7 is what that was at halftime. Isaacson rolls out to the near side under pressure, gets the ball away. It's caught by Michael Moss. I think the ball might have even been deflected. Nice job by Moss to haul it in. It'll be 6 yards short of the first down marker, bringing up third down for the Silver Streaks from their own 23. Under 30 seconds to go, third quarter. Let's see if the Silver Streaks want to try to run off one more play here or take advantage of the quarter break and get a timeout.
Tuck should have plenty of time. We're up to the line with 12 seconds left.
Mm-hmm. Isaacson barks out the calls. They do snap it away. Fakes the handoff, rolling to the near side, finds an opening, sprints upfield, and he's going to be dropped short of the first down marker by about a yard and a half at the 28. And that's the end of the third quarter. 3 quarters gone here at Rock Island. Alleman scores twice in quarter number three and now has a 21-7 lead heading into the fourth quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
WGIL is looking for organizations that regularly distribute information about employment opportunities to job applicants or have job applicants to refer. If your organization would like to receive notification about job vacancies here at WGIL, please notify Roger Lundeen at P.O. Box 1227, Galesburg, Illinois 61402, or email us at jobs at galesburgradio.com. Call 342-5131 for more information. WGIL is an equal opportunity employer.
Picture this. Your car's been damaged in an accident. You feel upset. So imagine walking into our office to this.
I'm not sure that shaking my maracas around the office is going to make anyone's car woes any better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Take charge of your wallet and your future with advice from Clark Howard. Weekdays at 3 on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
3 quarters gone at Rock Island. Ready to start quarter number four with the Alleman Pioneers leading the Silver Streaks 21-7. Gelsberg with a 4th-and-2 from their own 28-yard line coming up. And they had the whole quarter break between quarters number 3 and 4 to talk over strategy here. They're going to play it safe, punt the ball away. The defense has not been able to stop Alleman at all here in the second half. Or on 4th-and-2, are they going to take their chances and go for it? Won't be able to tell from the formation, because Isaacson, the quarterback, is also the punter. He's alone back there as if he's going to punt. Two wideouts to near side and the far side, but he's still looking to the far sideline. Now he creeps up a little bit. There's Alleman jumping at the line of scrimmage. Isaacson didn't even look like he was really in the process of trying to draw them off sides, and it turns out to be a false start penalty against Galesburg. So they draw Alleman off, and that's another 5-yard penalty. And if there was any chance at all that the Silver Streaks might have been trying some trickery to go for it on 4th-and-2, I don't think there's any way they'll do it now.
Yeah, now they bring in the full-fledged punt team. You know, and I don't know how much autonomy Peyton Isaacson has at quarterback. I doubt that they would give him the flexibility to do whatever he thinks best. If your name's Peyton Manning, you probably get that gift. I'm not sure yet that Peyton Isaacson as a junior has got that much confidence from the sideline.
Good high kick from Isaacson, and it's received right at midfield, probably at about the 49-yard line with a fair catch called. So Alleman will start this drive in their own territory, but only a yard short of midfield. 11:52 to go in the game and leading by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, and this is where, about as soon as I say this, I suppose they'll put it in the air, but Alleman with a 2-touchdown lead, and they know how to work clock. You can bet they'll be trying to do one of these 51-yard drives that takes about 8 minutes off the clock here to ice this game away. Our job is to find a way to force a fumble maybe and get that thing back.
Alleman did have 2 fumbles in the first half, but they recovered both of them as the handoff goes to Doak across left tackle, and he just bullies his way forward back into Galesburg territory to the 44-yard line for a gain of 7. Down to the Galesburg 44-yard line. And Alleman on that quick-moving offense in the third quarter, which kept Galesburg's defense off balance. Let's see if they try to slow things down a little bit more here to run some clock here in the fourth quarter. Leading 21-7, handoff to Doak again, off right tackle across the 40, inside the 40, down to the 38-yard line. That'll be enough for a first down.
Well, I guess this when you're up in the fourth quarter, it's fullback time, and I think the fullback's got a cramp. We haven't had any of those tonight.
No. But,
he definitely has got one there.
Doak, 10 carries for 69 yards tonight. Very balanced attack on the ground for Alleman. Matt Hubble, 12 carries for 70 yards and a touchdown. Kevin O'Keefe, the quarterback, 12 carries, 46 yards and a touchdown. Kylie Dorsey's carried it 5 times for 33 yards.
Official's going to take the opportunity here to let everybody get a drink of water. Doak is up now. It's kind of interesting when a guy, especially Doak there, reminded me of some of them last week, when you get a cramp, you're kind of in agony and you're rolling. It's kind of like if you ever watch pro wrestling where a guy's in a submission hold and the other guy's trying to get him to give and he's doing all these gyrations. No, no, no. Well, finally gives in. Well, Doak didn't. He didn't give in. He got up and got himself off the field there.
Check on some football scores here at the next opportunity. Everybody back on the field, ready to go. Cardinals leading Pittsburgh 5-1. Pirates batting top of the 5th, 2 on, 2 out. Trying to get back in the game. Approaching the 11-minute mark of the fourth quarter, and now we've got an officials timeout. Just as everybody was coming up to the line of scrimmage, getting ready to go after that short water break. Now I think we're ready. Alleman first down from the Galesburg 39-yard line. O'Keefe with a handoff right, tripped up right at the line of scrimmage, and then falling forward, Kevin Ewald. Hasn't carried the ball a whole lot tonight. In fact, that's only his 2nd carry of the night as I have it, and he picks up 4.
Yep, they're going through a stretch. There seems like there's always an Ewald up here for us. And one of them was big. Vince, I think, was 6'7", 6'8". He played football and basketball.
Second and six for the Pioneers. Two setbacks in the backfield. Handoff goes to the left side. Dorsey feeling his way up the middle, and he found some holes inside the 25-yard line. Gains up 11 more to the 24.
Alleman crowd really liked that one. An energetic run by the big guy and the Pioneers trying to make the statement drive here that would pretty well put this game away. Even with about 10 minutes left, they lead now 21-7. Looking to make it 28.
Down to the Galesburg 24-yard line. Peoria Central puts up 18 points in the second quarter and leads Moline by that 18-0 score after a scoreless first quarter. In fact, it is at halftime now. United Township. Well, Manuel scored, but the Panthers still lead the Rams 28-20.
Panthers don't want them to get too much confidence as they come to Galesburg next week.
For homecoming.
That's right. Early homecoming.
Gain of a yard on first down here. It's second and nine from the Galesburg 23-yard line. Approaching the 9.5-minute mark of the fourth quarter. Handoff to Dorsey again. Across left tackle. Streak stop him for a short gain there, but he still gets to the 20 for three more. It'll bring up third and six.
Yeah, like we said, Pioneers don't mind going deep into the down sequence here because it just grinds about 30 or 40 seconds off the clock with every down they use as they march towards the goal line here again.
They have not had a single play for loss here in this second half. They have dominated this game in quarters number three and four after being tied at seven at halftime, trying to build on a two-touchdown lead here. Hand off to Doak to the right side. Gets inside the 15-yard line before stopped up there. And that'll be, should be enough for another first down. The referee backpedaling, eyeballing the sideline. He actually might want to measure this one, and he will. They'll bring out the chains.
Marco Heda, who came out of the lineup the last time Galesburg had the ball, favoring his right leg, charges back into the game there, coming off of the sidelines. Good to see him back out there as Mylon Blissett comes off. Blissett, you know, the sophomore, he's a big kid at 300 pounds, and I don't suppose, like so many guys, his size, not able to play every single down, so you use him infrequently, and he becomes much more effective out there on the nose guard.
Even if they don't have it, they don't. It's two-down territory for Alleman inside the Galesburg 15-yard line, and it'll bring up fourth down and literally maybe a couple of inches, and that's all.
Well, and you've got to think that a couple of times tonight they've used O'Keefe on a sneak, anything under a yard, and can't imagine they would do anything but that on this play.
Alleman 3-for-4 on fourth downs in this game, and Galesburg's defense needs a huge stop here. Fourth and inches, already down two touchdowns from the Silver Streaks' 14-yard line. O'Keefe with the sneak, gets stacked up, and then he's pushed from the backside, and that's going to be a penalty.
Yep.
Connor Doak rode him from the backside and pushed O'Keefe forward when he got stopped. O'Keefe may have had enough, may have had just enough for the first down, but once.
Can't do that. And that was just out in the front of God and man for everybody to see. They had to throw that flag. And
they're waving it off. They're waving it off.
Oh, boy. Boy,
I mean, Doak just ran right into the backside of his quarterback, O'Keefe, and just ran him forward on his own, pull the flag.
Coach Tim Doherty calling over. He wants an official. He wants an official
here. I don't blame him.
To ask them about that, because it clearly Doak picked up his quarterback and shoved him forward, and that's not – I mean, I remember Refrigerator Perry doing that one time with Walter Payton. He got caught.
Well, unfortunately, it comes at a huge time in this game when Galesburg may have had the defensive stop, and now the Alleman drive continues inside the 15-yard line. Gain of one on first down here to the 13 as we approach the 8-minute mark, and obviously a touchdown would be just a huge killer for the Silver Streaks, but not to even get the ball back, and Alleman allowed to run more time here. From the Silver Streaks, 13, second and 10. Under 8 minutes to go in the game. O'Keefe in the shotgun now. High snap. Runs into his own man. Somehow gets the ball off to Dorsey, who tries to sprint through a hole and is dropped for a stop. Huh. And they're going to spot that one back at the 16-yard line?
So maybe they were going to say. Sure. I thought the officials thought that O'Keefe still had the ball. That's kind of the way they blew the whistle.
That's what I thought.
And Dorsey was the one that snuck through there, I think.
Yep, it was.
But they marked it back where O'Keefe got tackled.
And now if I'm Dave DeJager, I'm upset with the officials.
Rule number one in officiating, know where the ball is.
Well, 3rd and 12 for the Pioneers from the Galesburg 15-yard line, approaching the 7-minute mark here in the fourth quarter. Pioneers lead by 14. O'Keefe on the option pitch to Dorsey. He's got lots of room, and he scores.
I was praying he would keep that ball, but I could see Dorsey, if they got it back to him, there was nobody home going around that left end, and he just turned on the burners, and nobody came close to touching him on a touchdown run that puts the Pioneers up 3 scores.
It was a perfectly timed option pitch. With O'Keefe scrambling in the backfield, the Silver Streaks defense bit on him, and he tossed it away just at the last second to Dorsey, who was trailing him from the left. And Dorsey had all the room in the world to run into the far corner. And Alleman now leads by 20. Just past 7 minutes to go in the game. The extra point is good. It's 28-7 Alleman with 6:56 to go in the game. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Live coverage of Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dickerson's Photography on West Main Street in Galesburg. Timeless images for you and your family. And by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg.
You are the talent. You are the strength. You are the athlete. When you're under those lights, something happens inside of you. Your feet move faster. Your hands grip tighter. Your heart beats harder. And time slows down. The weight of the team is on you. And you've never felt lighter. That's what good equipment does for you. It's there, performing with you. Breedlove's has the gear you need to be even better than you already are. Settle for nothing less than professional brands that deliver every time, like you. Breedlove's Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Alleman puts together an 11-play scoring drive that covers 51 yards and takes 4 minutes and 57 seconds off the clock. And the Pioneers now lead 28-7 as they look for their first win of the season. The kickoff bouncing, taken by Range at the 10, trying to get to the outside. Looks like his feet went out from in front of him, and he slipped down at the 22-yard line. So the Silver Streaks take over, 6:51 to go here in the game now, needing 3 touchdowns just to tie it. And have run, let's see, 3. Galesburg has run only 7 plays here in this second half. This will be their 8th play.
I'm thinking J.J. Range, we need to get him some different cleats or something, because he's slipped at least twice, maybe 3 times on kick returns tonight trying to turn the corner on this field turf.
Hand off to Ben Holloway up to the 20-yard line and maybe back to the line of scrimmage. Nope, they are going to say he's down at the 20, so Holloway loses 1 on first down. And a tough night for Ben Holloway. He's had some big plays, but in the second half, 2 carries, -2. 11 for 81 and a touchdown in the first half. 2 carries, -2 in the second half. Back to pass on 2nd and 11. Isaacson flushed out of the pocket, now in trouble and sacked back inside the 15 to the 13-yard line. Loss of 8.
Bit of a feeding frenzy for the Alleman front line that time. They saw the Silver Streaks would be in passing formation, and they just cut loose, and the pocket just collapsed on Isaacson there. He had no chance.
Very quickly, Galesburg now facing 3rd down. Back at their own 13-yard line.
3rd and 18.
Yep, and flags fly, and we're going to have another penalty on Galesburg.
3rd and 23 coming up.
So again, Galesburg hasn't had many big penalties tonight. They've had 5 penalties, all for 5 yards each. But this one is obviously extremely poorly timed as it pushes him back to the 8-yard line now. 3rd and 23.
You know, at halftime, a lot of us on this sideline thought, you know, maybe we can get this job done. We had the game tied, but it has been complete dominance in the second half by Alleman.
Isaacson back to pass. He launches it downfield, and he overthrows Michael Moss by a good 5 yards at the 45-yard line. And the Silver Streaks, Jim, now 0 for 10 on third downs tonight.
Wow. Well, we've made some first downs, but not when our back's to the wall then, huh?
Right, they did have two fourth down conversions. One was on that penalty you might remember earlier in this quarter when they were punting the ball away. And
yeah, the 15-yarder that we never did figure that one out.
Isaacson 3 for 5 passing in the second half for 13 yards. 7 for 12 for the game for 68 yards, and he'll have to punt this one away. The rush is on, but he gets the kick away, an end-over-end kick. Fair catch called at the 40-yard line. And again, Alleman had an opportunity there to maybe run it back with Brandon Sheridan on the receiving end, but still in great field position on the Galesburg side of the 40 with 5:18 to go in the game and a 3-touchdown lead.
Well, how big a market is there for smartphones and such right now? I'm looking down the sophomore players. There's 5 in the immediate group below us. At least 3 are on theirs. And then there's another group of 4 or 5 kids in front of them, and I'm seeing the majority of them on their handhelds. Times have certainly changed.
Richwoods gets a field goal, but early in the fourth quarter, Rock Island still leads the Knights 20-10. Hand off up the middle. Oh, big running room, and Alleman may have another touchdown. Ben Holloway somehow chases down Stephen Tomer. He does get inside the 10-yard line. That's a touchdown-saving tackle, but for how long? Tomer runs it from the 40 down to, where are they going to spot this one exactly? The 7, it looks like. 33-yard gain on Tomer's first carry of the night. They just don't stop. So first and goal from the 7 now, under 5 minutes to go in the game.
Well, after this tough second half here tonight, it'll be good to be back home at Van Dyke Field next week. And we'll be favored against United Township. That doesn't mean it's an automatic win, but a game that if we play well, we've got a good shot at winning on homecoming. But this one has quickly gotten away from us.
We go to Tomer again, trying to bounce to the outside. Gets down to the 5-yard line for a gain of 2 more. And they'll be content to keep it on the ground and continue to run clock here under 4.5 minutes to go in the game. Second and goal from the 5. Sure turned around from earlier in this game. In fact, Galesburg, even in the first half, throughout most of the first half, wasn't moving the ball a whole lot. But they put together a quick scoring drive with 1.5 minutes to go before halftime. Ben Holloway punched it in from 10 yards out with 4 seconds to go. Now a fumble, it looks like, as Tomer couldn't handle the handoff. A scramble for it inside the 5-yard line. Michael Moss for Galesburg comes running out of there saying Galesburg recovers. And they do. So they prevent Alleman from getting into the end zone one more time, and the Streaks take over with 4:04 to go deep in their own territory.
Well, it won't change the outcome of the game, but, you know, Ben Holloway made that saving tackle and gave it the extra effort, I think, to just barely trip the guy up from behind. And, you know, as you were talking with Coach Doherty, sometimes it isn't just the play, but it's what happens 2 or 3 plays down the road from right. That play that you made, and there's a perfect example of it right there. Eventually, Alleman trying to get in the end zone fumbles, and their score is negated.
Galesburg takes over at their own 2-yard line. Isaacson in the end zone with a shotgun snap, deflected across the middle of the field, falls incomplete. Trying to, you mentioned UT, Jim, so I wanted to check on that Panther game with Manuel. Two football programs that are really struggling right now and need that win tonight against the other one. Isaacson swing pass to the near side this time. Nice reaching out by Eicher to come up with a catch, and he's gang tackled across the 5 at about the 7-yard line. So they'll advance the ball 5 yards, and that'll bring up 3rd down and 5.
Oh, some feeling that game, whichever team loses, that may be their best chance to win
right.
A game against the other one.
Right. 73 yards passing now for Peyton Isaacson. Josh Eicher had a big reception in the first half of 33 yards. He's got 45 yards catching now. 3rd and 5 inside the 10-yard line.
Woo.
And a wing pass to the near side.
Big hit.
Intended for Ferguson, And he gets drilled just as the ball comes to him, and it falls incomplete.
And perfectly timed.
Yeah, on the hit.
Yeah, really good hit out there in the secondary. Pioneers corner number 25, David Lommel, comes in, and he's only 145 pounds, but when he brought a lot of momentum, and he arrived at the same time the ball did and was able to break that play up, and that was as good as you see.
So Galesburg will have to punt. Again, Isaacson, what is this, the third time, third straight time now he's punted from the end zone. He drops it, picks it up off the ground, gets the kick away, backs up Sheridan to the 40-yard line, and he'll return it inside the 35. The ball comes free again. The officials blew the whistle, but the ball was rolling out, and I think the officials are going to say it was down.
Yep.
And Alleman will take over at the Galesburg 34 with 3:09 to go in the game. 28-28. UT and Manuel now tied at 28
wow.
in the third quarter.
Go ahead, teams are getting at it.
Yep.
Again, our thanks to Galesburg Nissan for providing transportation to our first road game of the season tonight. It's in a beautiful gray or silver.
I like silver.
Okay.
I can go in with silver.
Nissan Maxima with a beautiful black leather interior. And if you need to get a few feet in a hurry, this is your car. It's got a... It's got a big engine, and it's, they bill it as the sports car, four-door sports car, I guess is what they always call it. And these things really move, and they're very nice vehicles. We got a handoff to the right side, a couple of yards for the Pioneers. So it's 2011, if you're interested in the one that we brought up here. It's got about 24,000 miles. It's been taken very good care of. And stop by and see Jeff Klink, Chad Warren, and the gang out at Galesburg Nissan and ask them about the Silver Streak special. I guess the car kind of has a Silver Streak look to it with a black interior, and it's got the certified pre-owned label and good financing options. Stop by Galesburg Nissan and ask about the Nissan Maxima.
No update from Moline, so still at last word. Peoria Central leading that one 18-0. Hand off to the left side, trying to duck inside and dive to the outside. Goes Steven Tomer, who had the carry earlier. This will bring up third and, what, 7 for the Pioneers? Nope, a little bigger gain than that. Call it third and a long 4 after a gain of 4.
Pioneers
approaching the 2-minute mark. Go ahead, Jim.
Working towards the south end zone here at Rock Island Stadium. It's configured pretty much like Galesburg High as far as north-south field with the scoreboard down and just beyond the south end zone.
28-7 is the Pioneers' lead. Under 2 minutes to go in the game, and flags fly as O'Keefe gets that, or rather not O'Keefe. He's out of the game. Luke Sikowski is into the game. And a false start called against Alleman, but that'll simply allow them to run more time off the clock.
Trying to think, north-south layout over at Peoria Stadium has the scoreboard on the north side of the field there. We'll be
there
twice this year. I was so excited when I heard the reports that they were going to tear it down and build a Walmart there, but unfortunately that fell through. That's not our favorite stadium to broadcast from, if you get the hint. So we'll be there at least a couple of more times this year and then see what City of Peoria does with that relic after that.
From a fan's perspective, especially if you're on the grandstand side, I'm not so sure it's not a bad place to watch a game, but it's a terrible place to try to call a game from up in the almost a crow's nest of a press box.
Boy, and those stands on the visitor's side are a long ways off.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good haul to watch that game. There's a lot of them. Of course, it's a place that it was built as a dirt track, a racetrack. They used to race cars around there many, many years ago when it was first built. And you get that, if you've ever been there, you drive by, you look at it, it's just got that look with the grandstand and the overhang there.
Gain of 9 brings up 4th and 5. Under a minute to go in the game, Alleman will run a play and try to maybe get a first down and be able to run out the rest of the clock. David Lommel gets the call again on the carry, and he's going to be how short? A yard short. And the Silver Streaks will take over on downs.
You know, we were talking about Peoria, too, and they've been really handicapped for football fields for a while because Richwood's the only other field that the teams over there use. Peoria Notre Dame has finally built a new one. I think they're ready to use that this year over there. But, of course, Bradley doesn't play football, so you've got no collegiate football field, and Peoria is just not a town that's been very blessed with any sort of a good football facility.
Peyton Isaacson simply takes a knee as Galesburg takes over with approaching 30 seconds to go in the game, and Well, now for some reason they're going to make him do it again. Okay, now there's the official taking of the knee with under 30 seconds to go, and that will be the last play of the game. So the Silver Streaks fall. Their first loss of the season, 28-7. Alleman with its first win. Both teams now 1-1 in the Western Big Six Conference, and Quincy remains alone in first place at 1-0 now. As the clock expires, Alleman also wins a sophomore game, 30-6. Stay tuned for our post-game show coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
It's time for your annual checkup, but you don't need a hospital gown for this one. Crady Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg, suggests you complete an insurance checkup once a year. Life changes quickly. A checkup will ensure that your policies still provide the right amount of coverage for you and your family. You might even be able to lower your premiums with an auto or home policy from Rockford Mutual Insurance. For an insurance checkup, contact me, Mark Crady, or stop by our office on Henderson Street in Galesburg today.
Silver Streaks football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better. Crady Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast, partly cloudy with a low of 62 tonight. Tomorrow, sunny with highs of 93. Tomorrow night, cloudy with lows of 65. Sunday, partly sunny with a high of 86. Sunday night, partly cloudy, lows getting down to 66. Monday, partly cloudy with highs of 92. Monday night, partly cloudy with lows getting down around 70. And Tuesday, sunny with highs of 94. Tuesday night, cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows dropping down into the 70s. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 78 at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Alleman outscores the Silver Streaks 21-0 in the second half. Three straight touchdowns, scoring on their first two drives in the third quarter. They add one on in the fourth quarter and beat Galesburg 28-7. Both teams 1-1 in the Western Big Six and overall on the season. Galesburg now returns home next Friday night to play United Township in the homecoming game. And at last word, Manuel had rallied back and had tied UT rather at 28. So Panthers still fighting for their first win as they play down to the wire in Peoria. We may have a final from that one before we're done, but not likely, as this one went pretty quickly here in the second half. Galesburg's only score came 4 seconds before halftime, and they put together a 65-yard scoring drive with in only a minute 27 right before halftime. Ben Holloway ran it in from 17 yards out just before the half to tie the game at 7, and that was really the only time all night Galesburg was able to get any offense generated. So they tied the game at 7 at the half, and then Alleman came out in the second half and just took it to the Silver Streaks, a 6-play scoring drive that covered 71 yards in just 2.5 minutes to open the third quarter, capped off by a Matt Hubble 39-yard touchdown run. On the next possession, after the Silver Streaks went 3 plays and out, it was an 11-play scoring drive that covered 62 yards, and they took 5 minutes and 15 seconds off the clock. Tacked went on in the fourth quarter. The Streaks have broken huddle. We're going to go down to the side. Now Jim Lee is with head coach Tim Doherty.
Here we are down on the field with Coach Tim Doherty. Coach, obviously a terrific first half. You had these guys tied. We're toe-to-toe with Alleman. The second half, they pretty well dominated. Did they do anything different, or did you just not execute as well against them in the second half?
Well, I'm not going to take anything away from Alleman. They're a class program, and their kids came out. They played after a tough loss. You know, I got to see the film. I think there were a lot of execution bust, where we came up short on third down, and I don't want to take credit away from Alleman, because a lot of it was them, but we didn't execute as clean as we needed to on really both sides of the ball, especially offense.
You know, when you first came out, you had the turnover, they scored, and for a lot of us, we thought, boy, this may end up being a long night, because they went through us pretty handily. But after that, through the first half, the defense, you had a lot of guys, a lot of helmets in on tackles, and then that last drive, again, was the thing of beauty that tied this game up before half. So you have to be proud, at least, of what happened there in that first half.
There's a lot of good in this game, you know, and the film's going to show it. You know, in games, I mean, this is how we're going to play. There, you know, there's going to be key moments in the game. If we don't, we're going to come on the short end of it. You know, last week we made key plays when we needed to when the game was in the balance. This week we didn't. And playing a quality team like Allman, they're just going to capitalize and just keep running their offense. Some of their, they didn't get to the offense that they ran tonight because they fell behind and they did things uncharacteristic. So, you know, in credit to our, I guess I'll take the blame for that. Well, it's not even blame because we never saw a lot of their offense because they were behind. They were doing stuff that to catch up. So a lot of the stuff that they ran tonight, we just hadn't seen it on film because it's week two.
Yeah, well, and you were able to keep the fastback from getting the corner until the third quarter. He turned the edge on you over there, and that was really one of the key parts of the game, I think, wasn't it?
That was a holding. I mean, you know, there's just so many plays. I don't think this game came down to one or two. I really think at key times we beat ourselves in the terms of being put ourselves in a position to be able to win the game, and we didn't do that.
Both quarterbacks had some slippery escapes tonight. Theirs got called back for a penalty. Peyton Isaacson able to get away on that scoring drive for us. He really showed his athleticism, I thought, at times tonight, getting out and keeping plays alive.
He extended some plays, you know, and then I think he just tried to play outside of himself a little bit, playing from behind. It's different as quarterback, and he'll learn from that. But, you know, we just got a lot of stuff to clean up, and I guess in the nature of second, third games, you know, we're a young team. You know, and we're still learning to figure out what we can and can't do and what we should and shouldn't do.
Not that it was the biggest play of the game, but did you ever get an explanation on when they had the fourth down and it looked like the one running back picked up the quarterback and threw him for the first down and then they waved the flag off? What happened there?
It was aiding the runner. He called it, and then they said I had a conference and called it off. So, you know, that's a very good officiating crew. I think, you know, that I don't understand that one, but, you know, that didn't cost the game, but it cost us 7 points. Yeah. So,
well, and all things considered, I heard your talk with the guys there. Basically, you were saying, hey, we had a lot of good things happen tonight. Didn't like the loss, but you liked some of what happened here, and you can carry this forward and maybe be better next week?
No question. Again, we're inexperienced. I think last week, you know, uncharacteristically, we'll learn from it. It's just plain and simple, and I trust we will.
Thanks, Coach.
You bet.
As always, our thanks to Tim Doherty for joining us here in the postgame show. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the individual scoring, the statistical numbers for both the team numbers and the kids, and see if we can run through some final scores for you as well from around the area. Galesburg falls at Alleman tonight, 28-7. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
One of these things is not like the other.
One of these things just doesn't belong. No. Can you tell which thing is not like the others? Won't you help me sing along? Okay, here's the first one. Excellent. Here's another one. They sound the same. One more.
I'll be quack.
Did he just say, I'll be quack? Good one. More like, I'm a hack.
I should have stuck to politics.
It's the one, the only rubber duck race this Sunday at Lake Story, where thousands of rubber duckies will race for a chance to win up to $2,000 in cash. Adopt your duck today for just $5. Proceeds go to help kids in Galesburg Public Schools. Learn more at galesburg.info. Keyword, ducks.
Hasta la vista, ducky.
News, talk, sports on WGIL.
Silver Streaks finished tonight, just adding up the final numbers here. 8 carries in the second half for -5. 90 yards rushing at the half, -5 in the second half. Peyton Isaacson, 1, 2, 3, 4, finishes 8 of 15 for 73 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions for Peyton Isaacson. So 85 yards on the ground, 73 through the air for the Silver Streaks. Alleman, meanwhile, ran the ball 54 times by the time it was all said and done, Jim Lee. 31 carries in the second half for 225 yards, 312 for the game. O'Keefe didn't throw a single pass in the second half. He was 3 for 4 passing in the first half. He didn't have to pass the ball in the second half. They just dominated the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what, 3 consecutive times I believe they were able to score, and then just kind of traded the possessions down the stretch here. And you know, that's what we said from the outset, Alleman has been known for being a team that's just all on the ground. In recent years, they've shown us that they can throw the ball. You have to, really, to be able to be a state threat when you get against good competition. But when you get a lead and you block and tackle well, there's no sense in putting the thing in the air. Right. And I'm sure that was their philosophy here tonight.
Yeah, we were recapping the scoring that you just alluded to, Jim, right before your interview with Tim Doherty. The first scoring drive and the first possession for Alleman in the second half, 6 plays, 71 yards in just 2.5 minutes. Silver Streaks, 3 plays and a punt. Alleman came right back, 11 plays, 62 yards. He took 5 minutes, 15 seconds off the clock. Galesburg was able to put together a little bit of a drive, but not very much. And then Alleman's first possession of the fourth quarter, their third straight possession of the second half, took over at their own 49-yard line after a Galesburg punt. 11 plays, 51 yards, 4 minutes and 56 seconds off the clock. Dorsey ran it in from 15 yards out, and it was 28-7. That's where we ended up tonight. Both teams 1-1 overall and in the Western Big Six Conference. Galesburg sophomores lost as well, 30-6. They're 0-2. Take a final timeout. We'll give you our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do.
Dave's Auto Body.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2014 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
You can tell the difference between someone who's come to the class prior to their surgery and had the education versus those that have not.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center introduced their Joint Camp program back in 2006. Registered nurse Connie Young feels the program has influenced positive outcomes.
It's really about educating our patients. What's going to happen to them when they get their joint replaced? What's their care going to be like when they're in the hospital?
Joint Camp is your first step to full recovery. OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better.
WGIL is proud to be a part of our community.
Hi, it's Bob O'Connor for WGIL. Next Sunday, the 15th, it's the 4th annual VFW Car Cruise starting on Michigan Avenue at noon. First 50 entries get a dash plaque, and then at 3:30, the cruise to the Vets Memorial at Lincoln Park to honor Gold Star families. Get the details at WGIL.com.
These community announcements are being brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL, involved and invested in the Galesburg community.
WGIL and the Galesburg Public Schools Foundation congratulates Jackie Stone of Knoxville, this week's Imaginary Duck Hunt winner. Jackie knew the duck was pumping gas at Mobile Mart. Congratulations from WGIL.
Season 28-7 at Rock Island. Alleman, our final order of business. Jim Lee, our Dave thought about a crunch time player of the game. We felt like we had lots of candidates last week, and it was a difficult decision in that, you know, we could only pick one. Tonight, tougher to identify somebody.
Yeah, that's right. You had some moments of the game where guys made some good plays, certainly on defense. We saw the first half, very active job by a number of defensemen. Christian Powers, Gage Miller, Marco Ojeda, again, Matt Hawkins. He's going to be the leader on defense, most of the season. The senior doing a great job up there, as well as Ryan Darby. But when you're talking about crunch time, you're looking for that key play at a key moment. And so we're going to go on the offensive side of the ball tonight with Josh Eicher, the wide receiver, just the sophomore that we talked about. He's gives us that long athleticism, 6'4" on the outside, able to make a 33-yard catch in the second quarter, and then also a big 7-yard catch as we were driving for that tying touchdown there just before the half. Made a nice job getting it, making the circle, and getting towards the sideline. And so we just thought Josh was showing a lot of not only athletic skill, but also a good knowledge of what he was doing out there at the time, working against the clock and making himself a good target for Peyton Isaacson. Those two guys will hook up, we hope, a lot over the next couple of years here. And so Josh Eicher is our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game.
And certainly a nod to Ben Holloway as well, who offensively, with a minute and a half to go in the game, got that big 30. 30- 37-yard run right up the middle of the field, and then capped off the only scoring drive of the night with from 17 yards out. So,
well, it made a touchdown-saving tackle at the other end, too, at the end of the game. Again, it didn't affect the outcome, but it just showed how much hustle and spirit he has to not give up that, that final touchdown, which is cool.
And then, as you mentioned, two plays later, Alleman fumbled the ball and gave it up.
So, in essence, he forced a turnover.
Yeah, that's right. So, nevertheless, Eicher, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game tonight. Again, Silver Streaks back home next Friday night. They'll alternate home and road games throughout the first eight games of the season. But remember, next Friday is homecoming. United Township Panthers in town, and still no final from that game at last check. Tied with Manuel at 28 apiece. Rock Island did add another touchdown. They now lead Richwood's 29-10. For Nick Simpson at the Downtown Studios, our broadcast engineer, for Jim Lee here at Rock Island, I'm Brad Binowitz. Again, the Silver Streaks fall tonight to Alleman, 28-7, back home next Friday night against United Township for homecoming. I'm Brad Binowitz. Good night from Rock Island.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.